Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Dan. Congratulations, your morning just got a bit classier. A media legend, a ferocious linebacker, a clueless producer, and you.
Searching for a replacement window online? Visit windownation.com today.
So raise a glass and act accordingly. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's do it live on a Thursday edition. How you living, Threes?
I'm great, man. I'm great.
Cruising?
Guess what? They're kicking off tonight. They didn't tell you? Bucks, Illinois, they just announced it this morning. They're kicking off tonight. Yeah. Why not? Jeez. You know?
Salt the wound with that?
Yeah.
That's right out of the gates.
Right out of the gate.
Although it was our second schedule, to be fair.
Here's my schedule. I don't know how you feel, but here's how I feel when I look at the interweb. When I go on the line, when I go on the Twitter, as Steve Spagnuolo used to call it, I don't know what you guys do, Twitter, what was that, Twitter? when you go on that thing, right, and you look, and you're like, oh, Buckeyes practicing pads yesterday. No, they didn't. They put helmets on and spiders, which, if you look at the bylaws of what they announced, actually, from the NC2A, and what teams are allowed to do, like Ohio State compliance, basically you get 12 hours of non-contact activities each week, okay, which can include weight room training, conditioning, meetings. You're allowed to, let's see, no live scrimmages, walkthroughs, what else do we have? You are allowed 5 hours on field.
That's not right. No, I saw Bill from Piqua tweeting last night that the Buckeyes were practicing 60 hours a week in full pads. I saw him tweet it.
From Ohio State compliance. Let's read it off for the people so we don't get confused.
No, that's not right. His cousin's sister's brothers saw Ferris Bueller at 31 Flavors, and he was at Buckeye practice. You didn't see that?
I'm with you.
I read it. It was on the web.
Which, by the way, if you don't have this memorized by the end of the show, then you're not a true fan of Buckeye football, but it's Resolution R-2020-11 as temporary emergency legislation in football to specify that institutions that have canceled their fall seasons or postponed their fall seasons to the spring shall be restricted up to 12 hours of non-contact activities each week from the 24th through October 4th. I already see a loophole, by the way. The loophole to the spring. Coach, we actually postponed
that's
the winter.
It.
So we're going to practice as much as we damn want. Okay, NCAA?
But Christina Johnson said fall's long. It goes to December 21st.
It does. So technically we have it canceled to them. But anyway,
no,
the 12
right.
hours of activities may include weight training, conditioning, meetings, including film, team, position, and individual meetings, up to 5 hours of on-field skill instruction, Bo. 5 hours a week, okay, during which footballs, helmets, and spider pads may be used. A four-hour daily limit applies to these activities, and student-athletes must be provided with at least 2 days off per week. So, hold on, one more. No walkthroughs or live scrimmage activities, example, 7-on-7, 11-verse-11, are permitted during on-field instruction. So yesterday, you need to go on Twitter before I saw that, and you see Buckeyes practicing full pads, and you're like, people are like, a game is happening! We're doing this! It's back! And then you see that from Ohio State's own compliance, you're like, oh. Wait, they're out there in spiders and helmets, and they're not doing 7-on-7 or 11-on-11. Let's pump the brakes, people. Can we pump the brakes? And then you see a report. Look, I'm all for the optimism. But then I see the thing that I sent you this morning. Illinois basically saying, no, shut it down. We're going to look to shut down campus. We're going to, you know, we have a spike, so we're peeling back. So that's three Big Ten schools so far. I know what our president wants to do in Christina Johnson. I think she's crushed it out the gate. You've crushed it out the gate then. You know what? I was a former athlete. I believe everything is safe here at Ohio State. But the way I am with this right now is until I see all 14 Big Ten presidents voting, I don't care what the president says. I don't care what Kevin Warren says. I want to see a revote. And I want to hear what is the details of that revote, as we talked about yesterday. Can you convince six... Are you voting from a place of playing or from a place of not playing? And if so, you need to swing six people. So let's get behind the scenes, all right? I'm gonna put Rockin' Robbie on that, all right? I need you to travel to the six most likely schools to flip. So go to I'm going to Happy Valley
Him
first,
and Schlegs
right?
could do that.
Him and Schlegs, attack and dominate. Go over to Happy Valley and make them the fourth, okay? Let's get them. They should. Let's go attack and dominate them. Who's likely next?
State of Michigan would be the one. Would be the easy one. Two for one.
You would think so, because there's actually a case where people are actually deeming the president doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know if you saw that, but there's a group of people in Michigan legit that are trying to get him thrown out. So I think you could go there and really rally that section of it. Just hide the fact that you guys are Buckeyes. Let's keep that concealed and let's kind of infiltrate. I'll see if my buddy Jake Long wants to come join you from Nashville. He'll drive up to Ann Arbor and get that.
He's not going
to
drive. He's going to wheels up.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The guy wheels up from Nashville to the lake out there? Why am I blanking? Lake Tahoe. The guy wheels up from Nashville to Lake Tahoe.
To Reno?
I mean, he has a lake house there. You know what I mean? You think he's flying his two daughters and golden doodles southwest?
That's a haul. That's a pretty big tab on the wheels up.
Number one overall pick.
That's true. That's a big tab on the wheels up there. This is the thing that I think you have to pay attention to. You have to be careful. You get swept up. The offense is back on the field. Austin Ward used that analogy with Letterman Rowe. I think that's great. That's the perfect way to say it. The offense is back on the field. They were on the sidelines. The offense is back on the field. Every single one of us wants football more than anything. I've said this week, you've said it. Well, me more than you, because I'm not an alumnus, but I'm not worried about the rest of it. I'm not worried about non-revenues. I'm not worried about amateurism. They need to worry about that. I don't. I just want football back. And I'd love to have it back October 10th. I'd love to see Justin Fields play. I'd love to see this team go chase a national championship, whatever that looks like. You want all of that.
Yes.
But I think you have to be careful. Because, and this is for sports, politics, life. You assume if you're on, and especially, I think Twitter's the worst of it. I think you feel like if you're on Twitter, that's the pulse of the world. Right? It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not the poll. Lots of people don't spend their whole day on Twitter.
Lots of people.
Lots of people don't. Lots of people don't. Sports media people do, right? They're on Twitter all day long.
Of course.
Right? And so you feel like sometimes you can feel like there's momentum or something is more real than you thought because there's 1,200 likes on a tweet.
Right.
Right? That's not the real world. It's not the real world. There's a lot of people who aren't on that particular medium. There are a lot of people who are not, setting the clock to what's happening on Twitter during the day. So I think that you have to be a little careful with that. There is positive, real momentum to a rethinking of football. I do believe that. I do believe that. I believe that Dave Biddle and Bucknuts believe their sources and that their sources would be properly sourced, that there's a vote Friday. I do think that it's interesting, or possibly as early as Friday is what the report said. I do think it's interesting that nobody else has corroborated that report.
Right.
That's interesting to me. That would be a little bit of... Now, I'm not questioning their sources at all, because those guys have been around a long time. They do good work. Mm-hmm. Dave's a good dude. But from a perspective of... Where's the rest of that coming from?
Yes.
For those of you out there listening, coaches, athletic directors, presidents, conference, right? And we're talking about the Big Ten right now. Mm-hmm. All of these are incredibly manipulative of the media to push their agenda.
Yeah.
That's the reality. That's the way that it works. And there are certain people, have Sean Callahan on. We have this. I'm excited to have him on. He's been at the forefront of this Nebraska lawsuit that we're going to get into in a second. We'll have him on in the 11 o'clock hour. But he talked about that there are guys doing the work for the Big Ten. And there are certain guys in the media who work very closely with the Big Ten. We had Teddy on this week. Nobody's more plugged in with the Big Ten than Teddy.
Yes.
So he's going to get their perspective. I promise you. It will come from him.
Yes.
If like when Urban was here, if there was anything that was going to come out from Urban, it was going to go through Pete Thamel.
Yep.
That's the way it was going to go. It was go through Pete Thamel first, and then it would come local after that, but it was going to come
Fisher,
first through Pete Thamel.
Mike Silver.
Yep.
It was, you know. It was,
everybody's got a guy.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
Schefter has a lot of guys.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. What Schefter's learned, right, is to get guys that are named presidents versus coaches, because coaches change.
Yeah, what Schefter, that's a good point. Schefter so you guys understand how sourcing works, Schefter's stuff comes from GMs and presidents and owners. Those are his sources. So when that's why he is on everything. The same with Woj. That's how they're the first with everything. That's how when they tweet it, it's gospel. That's how that works, is that's the sourcing. So there are other guys in the NFL. You mentioned Mike Silver's one of them. He's tight with a lot of coaches. So Hugh Jackson, Fish, a lot of guys. He's tight with a lot of coaches. So that's his angle in, is through the coach angle. There are certain people, like Josina Anderson and others, who they're getting it from the player angle.
Yeah.
So it's the agendas are pushed from whichever. It just depends on where you get your sourcing. But if in Twitter, when you're in the silo of information of people who corroborate your opinion, it almost creates a dual reality.
It does. I mean, we talked about this with the players' rally, right?
Right.
And so to play both sides of the players' parents rally at the Big Ten headquarters, if you follow Twitter, you would have thought it had been thousands of parents. And it turned out there wasn't that many. And then you also realize, look, we're in the middle of a pandemic still, and not everyone can just jump ship from work and go up to Chicago. You know what I mean? So parents can be upset and be with them in spirit, but at the end of the day, like, oh, hey, no, I can't just cancel work to go up there, you know what I mean, even though I'm working from home to go to Chicago. Or so a lot of parents can't afford to just fly to Chicago on a whim, right? So there's that, too. Here's what I'm trying to do. Is there momentum now for an earlier kickoff, more now than there was when we started the week? Absolutely. Is Ohio State finally and we could argue this, Bo. Should Ohio State have done this sooner, and were they handicapped at the fact that Christina wasn't actually like first day on the job?
It's a great point.
Because ever since she took the job, it's like it's almost like by I don't even know if it was by contract or by law or by strategy, PR, whatever it was, she didn't say a word. She gave the one release, but then ever since they posted the photo on Twitter of her walking in the office with the mask and the, you know, doing Zoom meetings and all that, she has been daily her opinion out there about how fall athletics, she believes everything is set up to where they can have a successful and safe fall season. Now, fall goes to December. We heard her. But regardless, that she thinks there's momentum and finally feels like Ohio State is applying pressure. Right? Like, finally Ohio State is saying...
Throwing its weight around.
Yes. For the first time. And now, it should have happened earlier. Now, did she not say anything because she technically wasn't on the... I don't know those finer details because it feels like Gene was the one speaking for the school. So if Drake wasn't saying a word. He was on his way out. Technically, he was still him, but he was kind of like, peace, I'm out. Like, I'm not
see on down the road. I'm going to California. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been very encouraging to see Christina throwing her weight around. Now, it still gets back to, I think there is momentum. I think Trump is doing I think he made a savvy political move, right? Because if it gets rescued, he can see like, hey, me and Kevin Warren saved the Big Ten season. It helps Kevin Warren go from whatever to, but here's the thing that I still
think that's just in Ohio, though, to be honest.
Oh, it absolutely.
And Nebraska was always going to be red anyway. We were probably going to be red too. So I don't know that it's going to swing. Like nobody in Indiana is going, oh, thank God, you know, the president saved this. You know, they'll go red too. But thank God the president saved, you know, college football, the Big Ten.
I still think Wisconsin.
I don't think it's something that's going to push it over.
The rhetoric out of there, Minnesota's tends to be blue. It goes back and forth, but tends to be blue. And I don't know. It's a savvy move on his part regardless.
Because no question. He put himself in a good position to be the savior,
Especially in a state that he absolutely needs, any Republican needs to win.
That's a great point, that he can't lose. He can't lose Ohio. Yeah.
No. Right. I mean, no one has lost Ohio and won the office. So, to me, it looks, there's optimism, and then you get back to this vote, and you say to yourself, what are the guidelines? That's what I need from the Big Ten. And then, Bo, if you want to really be, why now? It's funny how the Nebraska lawsuit gains a little momentum. Hey, we need to see more documents the judge orders. We need to see more transparency. Do you feel like the Big Ten might just say, hey, we can't afford this, guys. We can't afford these emails about amateurism. Yeah. We can't afford all this, like our data. We can't afford all this because maybe it's not all there. Because you can't tell me that – here's the reality. All five conferences have seen the same damn data. Three said we're playing. Two said no. That's the reality. If you look at the president's responses down, presidents of these schools in the South, What are they saying? They're saying, yep, we have an uptick in cases. We're going to keep encouraging our students to be safe, wear masks, socially distance, and take care of one another. But they're not saying, oh, if we keep having more and more, we're going to shut. South Carolina had a massive jump. They didn't say a word about canceling. They said, keep being safe. You know, yeah. Like, this is a real life kind of real live world kind of view of how people are reacting to this pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. Like, some are herd immunity, push through. We'll be as safe as we can, but push through. And some, oh, we have two tests, let's cancel. It's a real live, like, look at the varying opinions on it. But I'm just wondering, will there be enough pressure applied by people to get a revote? And will this lawsuit make the Big Ten kind of be like, well, we would rather restart this false campaign of sports than have any of this. We'll settle because we don't want these emails to come out. I don't know.
It's a great point. I also think the same thing I said about Twitter is accurate, would be an
Absolutely.
Equal description of us here, right? Because
yep.
we want football so desperately. Lincoln, Nebraska wants football so desperately. Probably Iowa wants football so desperately. But I don't know if Minneapolis does. I don't know if Madison does. I don't know if the state of Michigan does. I don't know if the state of Pennsylvania does. I don't know. I think they probably do, but I don't know. So we have to, sometimes we get caught up in how we view, and that's why we had the conversation earlier this week, that we have far more in line with an SEC school than we do a Big Ten school. Far more in line. So this is all kind of setting the table for where we are now. And you asked that question. The lead thing I said at the segment was, where are we now? I don't know. Momentum. There's some momentum. And the Nebraska lawsuit has something to do with it. Sean Callahan will join us in the 11 o'clock hour on the latest on that. We'll get into that a little bit because I think you bring up some very good points. That's coming up next. Off and running, Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Proud to be your flagship home for Ohio State athletics, the Jackets, Crew Soccer, and Bob.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Carpenter's uncomfortably vascular arms. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. It's First Friday Somewhere.
That's a big sense of freedom.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And brought to you by our great friends at Window Nation. If you're in need or search and replace windows, check them out at windownation.com. They will take care of you the way that they take care of us. 866-90-NATION on that. This Nebraska lawsuit continues to gather some momentum. In response to the lawsuit filed last week by eight Nebraska football players against the Big Ten, Lancaster County District Court Judge Susan Strong has, quote, ordered the Big Ten Conference to produce more information and documents regarding the vote, as well as the governing documents related to the decision-making process. The Big Ten has been given until September 12th to produce responsive documents. This thing's the little engine that could.
Yeah, it is.
You know? I mean, it started as kind of like this, really, eight kids are going to sue the Big Ten Conference, really? But they keep getting these little wins.
The Big Ten said back, guys, we're not going to release all this for eight student athletes.
Yeah.
The judge says, oh, yes, you are. I mean, right?
Like, yeah, it keeps getting these little wins here and there. Now, the Big Ten's represented by smart people, and if they want to keep what was said behind closed doors, you know, secret, they will. They'll find a way. They can delay, and appeal and appeal and appeal, and
they probably off October 10th.
Or they could do that. And I do wonder if, I mean, that would provide the cover. There were so many things that this conference did at the start of the month that made very little sense. I think, you know, chief among them, this idea that they were going to play tonight when there was no, it didn't seem like a good idea then, you know, to play now, that you'd get it, that maybe it would be better. It always seemed like Greg Sankey and the SEC had a much more measured approach, if that's the right word, in terms of, let's get the students back. We're having spikes. I saw there was 800 kids tested positive, 800 Ohio State students tested positive yesterday for COVID. So this is something that is going to sweep through. This is basically what we've chosen at this point is, from what I can tell, is when we started this thing, it was, all right, let's lock it down, let's get it right. But then we were like, you know what, I'm tired of this. I don't have the stomach. I don't want to wear masks. I don't want to do these things. To hell with it. And so now we're going the more like, well, let's just everybody get it and see what happens. This kind of seems
right.
What it is.
Yep.
Which, you know, I'm not somebody who studies infectious disease, even if I am on Twitter, and it seems like it's that's kind of where you're headed. That you're basically saying we've got to just power through this, and that's what is happening at major colleges and universities. The SEC's plan was always, all right, this is going to happen. let's see what happens when it happens, and then let's see if we can do this at the end of the month. And whereas the Big Ten put kind of an unnecessary deadline on it of let's play Thursday, and then they bailed at a time where there was no pressure to bail and without any sort of reason of where we're going. And so this Nebraska lawsuit from these football players, what it would provide, I think, if this continues on, and again, I'm dubious to think that it will, if it does continue on, it would provide the context of those meetings that happen behind closed doors.
Yes, it would.
And that could be something that doesn't want to get out.
I think Kevin Warren, when he took the job, probably thought, how do I get in good with my coworkers, people that I answer to, the presidents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he gets in front of the room, and it's made me wonder how Jim Delaney would have handled this. You get in front of the room.
You know, Jim Delaney would have been vocal. He would have been saying, "We're doing this right." He would have been pounding his chest. "We did this right. We are protecting these kids." What he would have done. Whether he would have been, and it's just the lack of experience on the job. I mean, Kevin Warren's never done.
Well, that's what I'm
like
saying.
This.
So, like, I feel like Jim Delaney obviously would have had a better pulse on what the fan base is like, right, and how much football means. Like, that, there wouldn't have been that admission. Like, I didn't realize canceling the fall sports was going to be this. Okay, well, then you didn't know the job.
Real quick, how many places is it like that?
Here, Penn State, Nebraska, Iowa.
Sort of Michigan. Sort of Wisconsin.
You know, when they're winning, front runners.
Sort of, yeah.
Not Minnesota.
My point is, maybe he did have the pulse of his constituents.
True. And maybe it's
the majority of this league.
It's a growing divide between us and everybody else. I just feel like if Jim Delaney, like for instance, if Jim Delaney knew the money, even if it was just purely money, then what was best for the conference he wanted to play, his opinion would have said something. And the presidents being in there saying, "I'm scared to play, I don't want to play," Jim would have made his opinion known. Whatever way it would have been. And then he would have been more vocal about it on the way out. Kevin hears, you know, who knows if it was 12-2 to start, 11-3. Like, there's no – guys, our athletic directors feel like we are ready. You know what I mean? Like, there was no – I feel like there was no pushback. Why? You're early on the job. You don't maybe know the full scope of the job. You're new. You're trying to please, you know, your new coworkers, your people pleaser, all that. And then you see this backlash, and now you're saying, oh, I didn't have this. You know, like, oh, my goodness, maybe – and I'm not sure even – I would be – I'd be very curious if we were doing local radio – in Champaign, Illinois,
God
or over in West Lafayette, if this is the same.
You can't
same,
put us in Madison or Minneapolis, at least, if we're going to use the analogy.
Well, I know what it's like
in Minneapolis. I got to envision myself living in those two places.
I know what it's like in Minneapolis. In Minneapolis, it's probably like, here's what
those
it is in Minneapolis.
Those are my last draft picks of all Big Ten
Minneapolis
schools.
Is talking about what are the Wild going to do in the offseason,
right?
Kirk Cousins' comments, and what the Vikings are going to do.
Oh,
can Dalvin
Vikings,
Cook stay healthy? It's all Vikings.
A little
no
bit of twins.
A little bit of twins.
Yeah.
But it's not Gopher football.
No.
You know?
No, it's not.
Once Rashad Bateman tapped out, they said, okay, yep, nope, we're out. Guaranteed.
And I wonder what it's like in Madison. Is there uproar? I haven't seen it.
I think us
in Nebraska, without question, have been the most vocal about this. There's a couple reasons for that. We're both in really, when you think about Nebraska, obviously it's Lincoln, but it's also Omaha. So it's relatively big city type. They're the only show in town, right? Is Nebraska football. So they have that whole state behind them. There's vocal, you know,
it's the
forces.
Second or third big, it's on their little PR release. It's like the second or third biggest city in Nebraska when it's game day in Memorial Stadium.
Yep, that's
so
right. And we're like that.
Town in, yeah. I mean, but at least we have, like, at Nebraska, that is their state. Like, it's not just Lincoln or Omaha.
No, what
it's
I'm
the
saying is that
state. Like, that Ohio has, I mean, Cincinnati is different than Columbus.
No. Very. The point I was making, though, is that we're the ones yelling the loudest.
Of course we are.
I don't hear the yells. I don't know if the yells are coming from Maryland.
They're not.
If it's coming from Wisconsin or Minnesota, or if it's coming from the Indiana schools or the Illinois schools. I don't think it is.
No.
But those are also places that don't have, like, I don't know if there's anybody doing sports talk radio in Champaign about Illinois all day long. I don't know if there is.
Yeah.
It exists. I know nobody in Chicago's talking about it. They're talking about the Bears.
Yep.
And the Cubs. and the White Sox. Like, they're, you know, it's down the, it's so far down the pecking. Like, Northwestern's not on the radar in Chicago. They're not. It's Notre Dame, if anything.
Yeah.
So it's that's the thing that has been part of the reality of this, is the growing divide between us, Nebraska, and a couple others in the rest of this league, and that from a football perspective, we really don't fit in with the rest of this league. We fit in with about three or four schools in this league, but the vast majority are not like us. And so this is the these are the challenging waters ahead, and that's why there's still many a roadblock between, despite the good news on the testing. I never thought it was all about testing anyway. I thought testing was down the list of important things. It seemed like we were testing pretty good anyway before this. Now it's cheaper, sure. But to me, it was always going to be about liability, and it was always going to be about amateurism.
And that's the one thing, buddy, that gets me, like, whenever I get super hyped up, like, yes, we're going to have a season, I'm going to have a job on the weekends, it's going to be great. You know, we're going to have a national championship team here in town.
That's right.
As soon as I get to that, and it's like, hold on, this was all over an Abbott 5-minute test that's cheaper? That's it? That's not it. It's amateurism, which doesn't get addressed on this, and it's myocarditis, is it not? Say what you want, but it's
liability.
This is not just us. This is Pac-12, Big Ten, SEC, ACC. It takes one kid getting myocarditis and then deciding, you know what, I'm going to sue.
It's one kid on a ventilator. That's what they're all scared about. They've been scared about it for a long time. It's one kid on a ventilator. So
in the
that's
South, they're betting it is what it is, and up here we bet the Big Ten bet the other way. Like, we're not going to allow that to happen.
And by the way, the South is a long ways from still playing football. We're still a month away.
The hard thing, though, is that it's not just COVID that causes myocarditis. You know, there's multiple viral infections that can do it. But regardless, those aren't pandemics. This is a pandemic where everyone's eyes are on
this. We can treat those.
Everyone's eyes are on this. This is, I mean, it's wild. This whole thing is wild.
It is. We'll revisit this in the 11 o'clock hour. An insane night in the National Basketball Association.
Boy, was it.
And boy, the officials did not have a night. They did not have a night. We will get to that coming up next. Some NFL news as well. 4 days, it's the NFC East, in the 10 o'clock hour. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Weeping your jacket's flagship station said.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan, Ohio sports destiny. It's Bishop and Laurinaitis is What's Up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Well, here's what's up. I mean, there were two great games in the NBA last night with the Bucks and the Heat, and the Thunder and the... And the Rockets, that being a game seven, Heat Milwaukee kind of thought it was a go up 2-0 for Miami if they were able to pull it off. So they're up three. You and I are actually talking on the phone as this is happening. They're up three. And Chris Middleton takes a three where Goran Dragic is as straight up as you can humanly be. You could not be more erect than he was. He was straight up. He creates no contact. They give Middleton the foul. They give him three foul shots. Goes to the other end. Miami's got a last shot. Giannis fouls Butler in the almost the exact same way, and he gets two free throws to win it. They botched both calls.
Yeah. And the first one almost didn't, first one for Butler almost didn't go. That was a little dicey. But when that one went in, you could see on his body language, like, whew.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank goodness it's not down to the last one, which is amazing when you see pros even act that way, you know? I couldn't believe either call. Calls were bad all night. I mean, people were already hinting early in the game that the league was trying to get Milwaukee back to 1-1.
Because Miami was better. I watched the second half of it after practice, and they were better the whole way.
But then that second... You mean that last foul on Butler, you're saying, well, maybe not. You know, maybe they're just bad.
Well, it was the same official who had the call on Middleton who had the call on Butler.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he felt consistent. Guilty.
Maybe.
I'm wondering if he felt guilty.
At least he was consistently awful. I mean, Giannis just, and you could tell just sitting over there, what will be a iconic photo for the next, you know, till the next game. In our Twitter world of him sitting there, you know, with Jimmy just in disbelief. But gosh, 2-0, man, that's a long way back from Milwaukee because Miami was the better team. And Miami had a nice lead going most of the game, and then Milwaukee made a nice little run there and got some help to tie it up. But Miami was the better team.
Yeah, they are. We talked about this. You saw this in the first round, the way that they took care of Indiana. They're really
deep.
This
is the first basketball game I watched, I would probably say, 80% of the game. So it's the first time you know, since the restart that I actually sat there and watched. And my wife always gives me crap because I tend to like read a book and watch sports at the same time.
Sure.
I'll look up, you know, and I kind of have a, I don't know, maybe it's my ADD complex or the fact of just being trying to be able to do too much at once. But having that on, it was... You're like, oh, okay. What in the world is happening? Like Miami was in control. I was like trying to watch the Bucks here and see kind of how what was happening. But the Heat were impressive. They really were. And
they were. They're going to be a problem for a while. They're young. Yeah. They've drafted well. They've got like some superstar, not superstar, but really like all star level young players. And the big takeaway I think is you feel like the not only could Miami beat Milwaukee here, but they may take Giannis too. Because I think he's got one more year and then he's up.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's always been the landing spot for him. Obviously, from someone who's from Greece, many Europeans vacation in Miami. There's an allure of Miami. It is direct flights, all of those things. And is a much nicer place
to
live than Milwaukee.
From Milwaukee?
No. No, apparently not. And just a better place to live. Like, just call a spade a spade. Miami's a pretty good place to live when you have a lot of money. So
sure
he
is,
does,
yeah.
And he would. So he'd be on Star Island, and away he'd go. So in the other one, the Thunder failed to get a shot off at the end. James Harden with a block shot as the Rockets sneak by and beat Oklahoma City. They'll get to play the Lakers in the next round. The Lakers, I think the Houston matchup is fine for them in terms of both these matches are going to be hard just because they shoot the three a lot and are really guard heavy. But there was a play, and Channing Frye had a hilarious Instagram tweet about this. The last play of the game, they've got Steven Adams at the elbow. On the inbound, and he's guarded. Steven Adams is 7 feet tall. He's guarded by someone who looks to be about 6'4". And instead of just flashing him, and Mark Jackson actually talked about it on the broadcast, just flash him to the rim and throw it up high, and it's a dunk.
Yeah.
This isn't hard, right? It's real easy to do. And they flash, and he flashes to the rim. They don't flash, so they try to three, which Harden blocks. But it's just simple stuff that was missed. You know, from the Oklahoma City and Billy Donovan, they just missed it. Like, I don't know how you missed it, but they missed it. And so Houston will be able to move on that front.
Here's your reward, Houston. You got 24 hours to rest up, basically, you know, 48 hours, you know, depending on how late that game was. And then you got LeBron, who's been sitting there rested, waiting. I never thought I'd hear you say, James Harden with the block shot to win the game and nothing. He did nothing
right.
Offensively. He couldn't make,
right.
I mean, think about that if you're Oklahoma City. If you're Oklahoma City, you go into game 7 and you say, you know what, if we shut down James Harden, we got a chance.
Yep.
And they did, and you lose. That's going to be a tough, that's got to be a tough sports show today in Oklahoma City.
Absolutely
better
so.
Better just move on to Oklahoma football.
Yeah, that's true. I love the Heat. I love the way that they're built. There's ties for us here locally with that, of course, with Chris Quinn, the former Dublin Coughlin standout, played at Notre Dame, had a long NBA career. He's on that staff.
Yep.
His dad, of course, just one of the great dudes, and we see him all the time with the Cruise for Cancer and all of that. So
no question.
You root for them anyway. But beyond that, they're just really fun to watch. Right? They're just awesome to watch play. So that's this is going to be fun. I enjoyed it. I wish the refs didn't blow it last night because I think they kind of cast a shadow over what was some pretty strong basketball last night. The NFL with some news there, including another running back heading to Tampa Bay as they continue to get more and more talented. We get to that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis is right here on The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The radio station allowing one of their hosts to talk about human flesh consumption.
Okay, probably not the best idea.
The Fan, Ohio sports destiny.
Two men complaining about first world problems.
You're not getting the point, kid.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Tampa Bay Bucks bureau chief James Laurinaitis on the program today. I believe you had this.
I believe I, yeah. I mean,
I believe you had
even
this.
Even a blind squirrel can find a nut every once in a while.
You should be down there at Burn Steakhouse, just wading into that wine room. Big old place on out there in Clearwater, right next to Jeter.
That's an impressive wine room, by the way.
Yes, it is.
I have been to that restaurant road game. It actually may have been the road trip the night before Miss... No, two nights before, because she was born at like 2 a.m. Miss London Noel was born. Played at
Tampa. Oh, really?
Played at Tampa. And then played there as a noon kick on a beautiful Sunday. Mm-hmm. And had a weather delay. We were going to induce a week after. We were supposed to play the Cowboys the next week, and we were going to induce after that, like on a Monday, you know, and basically try not to miss anything because we had a home game during that week. And so anyway, we had a plan. You know, God had a different plan. So we had Shelly's mom come down when we were at Tampa just in case. You know, we were still early, and we were going to induce like a week or two early. So it was kind of like she had some contract, but nothing like to where we were actually worried. But I'm like, I want your mom to be down here. And so anyway, weather delay, storm comes through at halftime. We have to go back into the locker room. We're just hanging. I'm texting Shelly. How you feeling? Great. How long is this delay? I don't know. I have no idea how long this delay is going to be, hon. I'm not a meteorologist. Just sitting in here pumping Gatorade and waiting. Anyway, we go out. We win on the last drive against the Buccaneers. Get in the locker room. I go right to my phone. Congrats on the win. Just so you know, since like the second quarter, so before even the weather delay, I went to the hospital and I've stayed in the hospital. I'm having contractions, so hurry home. Geez. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me at halftime? She goes, I wasn't going to mess with your focus. You know, like, what have you been able to play the second half?
Such a gamer.
Yeah, such a gamer. So anyway, the cool part was that, you know, we flew home and Fish let me take one of the – basically just said, you know, jump in one of the cop cars that was our police escort from Lambert Airport in St. Louis to the facility. Just told the cop, take him right to the hospital. You know, don't worry
God,
about
that's great.
Tomorrow.
Good yeah. Fish.
Yeah.
Man, he's got a good heart, that guy.
Good job out of him.
That's a good job out of Fish.
Gave us a nice, beautiful – it was a beautiful mini, like a mini NFL game ball. They painted pink. And then Rams colors, London Noel Laurinaitis, and the weight and the date of birth and all that, which
oh,
was
that's cool.
Very nice. I did not get one of those from the Saints, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm not bitter about that. So poor Hayden has nothing. Maybe I'll have to draw her own
nothing.
Up. I'll have to get her own.
That's all right.
I'll ask
I don't
the
think
Rams
she's
guys to
be...
paint her one and just
yeah,
anonymous. Red and blue, NFL shield colors, okay?
There you go. That's perfect. But you did have Leonard Fournette to the Bucks. A couple other NFL notes. Haskins named the starter in Washington. No surprise there. Tyrod Taylor named the starter with the Chargers. No surprise there either. I'm curious how long Tyrod can hold off Herbert. He held off Baker. And you knew, if you remember that, he held him off, but he knew that he was coming because he was racing to get back out on the field. Because it was almost in that preseason game. So I was like, we can't let him see too much of this kid or else I'm not going to play again. And I think the same thing could be true of Herbert. Haskins... They spent the offseason trying to motivate him. He's looked good in camp, but it's a really enormous season for Dwayne and with
sure
in terms of his future in Washington because we'll get the NFC East. They're going to be pretty bad. So he's going to have to really shine out. You think this Fournette move does much for the Bucs?
Absolutely. I think you'll get him as motivated as possible. Because here's the motivation, Bo. Nobody claimed him. Anyone could have claimed him on waivers.
Anybody could have,
So if any team desperately wanted him, like i.e. Tampa Bay, if any team desperately wanted him was like, oh, I'm afraid he won't sign here, right? Like now maybe some teams thought, like, we'll take the risk that he gets through waivers and I think that we can convince him to sign here. Think about Seattle. You think about, some of the other teams. You think about New England. New England said, no, we're not interested. Well, Sony Michel's been dealing with a hamstring. You could have used him. Up there, you know, with Cam.
I think they like Damian Harris.
They do. They hope they do. They better hope they're
like
right.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think when you when you see that, you have a guy who's like, for some round, I know we've had guys like Ryan Clark really sticking up for Fournette and his work ethic, and Coughlin kind of gave him a bad rap, and he has a reputation of that. But I think when you look at this overall, Fournette's going to be motivated to go somewhere to win and say, you know what, all 32 teams passed on me.
Yep.
Like in reality, like any one of them could have picked me and said, yeah, we'll take this kind. All 32 passed, so you know what, I want to go to Tampa. I want to play with the dude. I want to play somewhere. Like, look at that running back room. Okay, Ronald Jones, because McCoy's going to be a gadget. What is LeSean McCoy right
What's
now?
What's he have left, yeah.
And if he was that impressive in camp, they wouldn't have went and tried to get Fournette. So,
right. That tells you what you need to know.
Yeah. So I think it's a brilliant move. And if anything, it's a – heck, for him, if you get 1 year, you turn this into a contract.
Yeah.
You know? You get one year, you turn that into a new contract, and you get a Super Bowl ring. All right.
I mean, he could definitely have the type of production that – I was thinking, oh my gosh, why am I blanking? I covered him. LeGarrette Blount, I covered him in high school. His name slipped, but I think about what LeGarrette Blount was for the Patriots.
Yep.
You know, with Tom, and he could definitely do that. He's more talented probably than LeGarrette is. So I don't know if he has. LeGarrette had a lot of give a damn. Now I don't know if Fournette does have that, but he has probably more talent. So that's one of those things where maybe that's what this could look like a little bit.
Well, it's his first time he'll be on a winning like besides the 1 year in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Right. And so,
where they apparently had a bunch of punks, like they don't have that here,
right? Right.
It's not going to be tolerated.
So they were winning, but they were winning with just as was a bad culture, you know, like
clearly,
almost in spite of. And so, you know, if you don't like the guys that are in charge, but you're still winning, I mean, that's really you're winning with talent. Like they had talent in that building, but
no question.
You know, it's not sustainable if you hate like your bosses, which it seemed like all those players did. And then you have guys where your give a damn goes down because you're like, man, I don't want to. It can go either way. You can win in spite of, or just say the hell with it because of bad leadership.
Yep.
And for some reason,
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB. Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And it flamed out down there in Jacksonville.
In a hurry. We will hit the NFC East coming up next. The Cowboys and the Washington football team up first. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on the Fan.
Hey. Listen responsibly. Now back to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
So my wife is at the dentist. The boys are at school every other day, so today they're not. There's no Zoom for them today, so they're just kind of running around. My mother-in-law's over here kind of keeping an eye on Bootsy. So I go out of my office into the main living room there, and I hear like the college football game very clearly being played upstairs.
Yeah.
And I say, Beamsy, I said, what are you playing? He goes, college football. And I said, the 2014, which is the last one that was made. And he goes, which, by the way, they've already updated the new rosters. So, like, this year's team with Trey Sermon, all those guys are on there. It's pretty wild. And he goes, no, Dad, 2009. And I said, why are you playing 2009? He goes, because James Laurinaitis is on this.
Oh, my guy.
Yeah. So, you know, the 09 team is being played right upstairs right now. Yeah.
Love it.
You're a 99 on that one, buddy.
My guy. Yep.
Yeah.
What was it? Impact
Loyalty.
Player? Loved it.
Sense definitely
of
impact.
Pride right there.
Definitely a bad player was that.
You hear that, Marcus Freeman?
Star.
Where were you,
no,
buddy?
Not Freeman.
Huh?
Not.
Where were you, Marcus?
Not.
Huh?
No. In fact, I think Freeman was so pissed. I remember being pissed because his speed was so slow. Like,
oh,
I want to say even his speed
totally,
rating was
totally
like below.
They inflated my speed and it bothered him so much.
Crushed him, yeah.
Which just made me laugh. Absolutely.
Which is pretty great.
Laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, NFL, we continue our tour. We get through the NFC today. We are playing a game a week from tomorrow. A week from today, really. Week from tonight, you'll have the Chiefs and Houston will be played. Roger Goodell doing some of the rounds, and they're going to do a couple of things. I saw this in the National Football League in terms of they're closing all facilities on the vote day so that the employees and players, everybody can exercise their right to vote. So that was a pretty cool thing there. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was just still not certain what's going to happen with this fan situation. We still just don't know. Like some could have big fans, some could not. One of the ones that wants to have fans are the Cowboys. Of course, Jerry Jones does. He could probably fill that place up if he wanted to.
Yeah, I assume so.
It is a roster that is absolutely pretty loaded. When you look at it, there's talent everywhere across the board. They get Andy Dalton as insurance for Dak. Everson Griffin comes in to help along the defensive line. They get CeeDee Lamb and add him to an already loaded loaded receiving core. Zeke Elliott is there. The offensive line is one of the best in football. It does feel like if they're going to win it or be, I don't know that this is a Super Bowl team or not, but if they were ever going to be, they ought to do it this year, that the time is certainly now for them.
It really feels that way. A lot of pressure on Dak to perform. You feel like I think Zeke has a couple good years in him, but with running backs, you don't really know. You know, like Zeke's still one of the best, if not the best, running back in the National Football League. But
yep.
That spot is something that you don't want to take for granted. You don't want to hold on to that title as a Cowboys fan. Saying, "Oh, we have Zeke," unless like you take that year by year, I guess is what I'm trying to mm-hmm. say. And I think sometimes Cowboys fans can get misled by they had Emmitt Smith, who was a beacon of consistency, right, in a different era, and then you have DeMarco Murray, who is a rushing champ in the league, and you're like, "Oh, we'll just find it." Don't have that attitude. Like you are in a window right now with young talent and an O line that is aging, though. Like they're not old, but they are aging in the sense of when you are a physical battling offensive line with a run game that you've been relying upon, you've already seen guys retire, you've seen guys get hurt. So have they squandered that opportunity? This is the year, I really believe, that I don't want to say it's a do or die year, but honestly, look around your division right now, and everyone else.
It's time to feast.
Yes, you better feast. And what they haven't done the last few years is feast. They've been at too many of these tight games and division stuff where it shouldn't even be that way. You look around at their roster and you say, yeah, Dak, okay, I like that. Zeke, love him. O-line looks beautiful. CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, okay. You know, like,
right.
I mean, honestly, you look at this and you say, oh, I could play with them on Madden.
Yeah, for sure. They'd be fine.
You know what I mean? Like, I can be with them on Madden. Although I'll probably choose Tampa Bay first.
Yeah.
although, you know, I'm not sure. I kind of like a little bit of mobility at quarterback. I really do. Probably because
you want to have a little bit.
Why, yeah, you know.
How could you pick up Madden right now and not just play with Mahomes?
That's true.
I mean, you'd have to just once. I mean, I haven't played Madden in a very long time, but like if the first time my back
I thought
to Madden,
about moving the PS4 up here to the guest room and hooking it up to this small TV, but then I figured playing video games during the show and sneaking it behind Shelly's back is probably not good for the marriage or my profession.
You could have done that in June when we didn't have any sports to talk about. That would have been fantastic.
It would have been. I would have beaten Assassin's Creed by now. I'm like three games behind. DeMarcus Lawrence.
A lot of
Everson
pressure
Griffin
on Dak.
On the outside.
Oh, mean, yeah, Vander go through the defense.
Smith,
it's loaded.
I mean, they're loaded. That's the thing. They're loaded.
Yeah, it's really on Prescott. This is his year, and it's his year in large part because I think there's going to be real options at quarterback out there. If the Lions don't have a good season, and I think they could, but if they don't, I could see Stafford saying, I'm good. I'm good. I've had enough. It's time to be done. I think Rodgers is going to be available. Cam Newton could be available again. And Dak... Dak really, there's an incredible difference between when they play good teams and when they play bad teams. And he feasts on the bad teams, and he's pretty average against the good teams.
Yeah.
If you go look at the splits, it's pretty conclusive. So they need him to take that step and win some big games for them because the roster's there, and there's tremendous pressure on them to win because Jerry wants to win one more. He hasn't won one since 95.
Yes.
It's been a long time.
And he wants to win one without Jimmy. Like,
yeah.
There's still that aura of like, well, he's the one that really built it, right? Like, he is. And so,
right.
For him, that's what I think a lot of this is. It's like, it would be purely Jerry's deal, right? Especially with McCarthy, it'd be like, well, I brought this guy in. I think that's why he hung on to Garrett for so long. This is a guy that we had on my teams, the guys that I groomed. Like, you know what I mean? He wanted that little ego stroke there. Mm-hmm. And now's the time. And it's a big year. I mean, I can't state enough how big of a year this is for Dak, you know, because of that, the franchise tag, all of that, the numbers that have been floated around for him. He might be one of the most polarizing quarterback discussions across the NFL.
Well, we'll get to another one coming up when we do the other two teams in this division, talking about the Eagles, because that's another one where there's a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. There is no pressure on the Washington football team, at least not on the field, to win. They are part of a big build. This is a team that will be built around Chase. And if you pay attention to ownership, Dwayne, but I don't know if that's necessarily what Ron Rivera wants. You wouldn't think so if you listened to him. They're completely devoid of weapons. I mean, they just don't have anything. So it's Terry was great, but he's really by himself. In terms of their roster, it's completely depleted. Off the field, it's a disaster. It's possible that the NFL could try to force Snyder out, so they have major controversy there. They're very lucky that Ron Rivera is there, and maybe he can stabilize it. But it is a ship that is really, really rocking. And in terms of what was once one of the model franchises in the National Football League, has become kind of a franchise of shame for a long time. You just look at the offensive weaponry around Haskins, like Kelvin Harmon, mm-hmm. Trey Quinn. Mm-hmm. I mean, thank God he's got Terry. I mean, look at the names behind him at receiver, at tight end, Richard Rodgers. He's got Logan Thomas, Adrian Peterson is a starting running back. Darius Geist, they threw out of the league. I mean, they're just offensively, there's nothing there. There's nothing there.
I'm really happy for Dwayne that he got named starter, because it's a big year for him, just as far as maturity. It'd be very unfair for the Washington organization to look at the names that they have out there and say, at wideout, not name Terry McLaurin, and say, yeah, there's enough weapons around him to really judge him. Now, there's some things that he can make great decisions, right? He can make good decisions, and which means, don't force throws, which when you have a rocket like Dwayne Train, you're going to try to force throws, But
right.
But I think it's really important that he handles things the right way this year and looks more like a... Put it this way, when you win, don't go take selfies with the crowd.
Right.
Handle it, be a pro, and keep growing in that. You can still be you. You can be confident. You can have the swagger that you have. Mm-hmm. But you also got to handle it a certain way for the locker room. And it's nice to see that he won the job over Kyle Allen and Alex Smith, because I really feel like they tried to make him work for it this year.
Boy, they did.
With the rhetoric that was coming out of there and everything. And the good thing for him, though, is that defensive line.
That's it.
On the other side of the football, might be one of the best defensive lines in the National Football League. Montez Sweat, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Chase Young, Ryan Kerrigan. What do those people all have in common, Mr. Bishop? Do you know?
All first-round picks?
Yes. First-round pick in 2011, first-round pick in 17, first-round pick in 18, first-round pick in 19, first-round pick in 20.
It is a lot of currency that's gone onto that line, and it's following the San Francisco model where you just are so deep and so great up front. But I don't think that they have the offensive discipline that San Francisco
now,
has.
Is Reuben Foster
from a team building
back?
Standpoint?
I saw that he was.
I don't know.
He was practicing.
I don't know.
Where
I'm not sure where he
is, but he's
right.
practicing.
He's special
he
if he can
activated.
Play.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very.
You have Thomas
here.
Davis in that same locker room, who is ancient, but. Talk about a leader, a guy who's resilient, comeback player of the year multiple times, multiple ACL tears, and what he can bring to that room with
their
a guy
defense
like
pretty
Reuben
good.
Foster. Yeah.
Especially the front seven.
Yep. Khalik Hudson,
front seven's
a name
good.
That we know from Michigan, drafted in the fifth round there.
Yeah. No, that's how they're building it. It's pretty clear that's what they're doing. We'll find out if it works. Let's hit the categories on the Cowboys and the Redskins. Could you live or vacation in Dallas and Washington?
So I've been to Dallas a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I could live there. All right, no income taxes. You could definitely live there. All right.
Yeah.
I could live in Texas. Are we considering this Washington, D.C., or are we considering out where the stadium is? I mean, how are we...
You can have the D.C. You can have the DMV.
Okay, yeah. I like that area. I could live there. I'm not sure I could vacation there, but I could live there.
I wouldn't vacation to Dallas. It's so spread out.
It is.
It's you can't believe how big it is. It's just so spread out. I think I could live there. It would be similar to having to live in some other places where I would want to be wealthy to do it. Otherwise, because I would want to live in specific places in Dallas. I don't have any reason to take, like, the kids are on vacation. Washington, I would vacation there. I have it. It's great. It's inspiring. Amy and I did a fun trip there for, like, just 2 nights and just did all the sights. It was awesome. Great food, great restaurants, all that. It's inspiring to be there. And I could live there, too, I think, because when you're getting the DMV, you're also getting, like, you know, Annapolis, and you're getting out towards that way a little bit. And so you're getting Virginia. There's some cool areas there where you can be. So I could do both of those. Do you like the QB situation in Dallas and Washington?
I like them both. I do. I like Dak Prescott. I don't love. And I like Dwayne Haskins, but I think it's still too early in his development. You got to be fair to these young kids and realize that this is really the third season that he's really played. The 1 year at Ohio State last year, he played a little, you know, as the year wound down. But you got, and they're already on a second coach. So I'm not even sure I'll judge him after this year. I think he needs a couple years with Ron Rivera, and you hope that they're able to keep Scott Turner, offensive coordinator, there so that he has the same language, right, and the same culture. So I like them both. Not love, but I like them both.
Yeah, you may not judge Dwayne after this year, but the Redskins, I'm sorry, the Washington football team will be judging
him
this year, for sure. I think like is the right word. Prescott could get to a love pretty quickly. He's right there. He's right on the cusp of it. Super Bowl, playoff, ascending, road to nowhere, tank.
I think the Cowboys are Super Bowl. They have a roster, certainly, that says it. That's Jerry's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Washington? They're still on the road to nowhere, but that's only their offensive talent. They have so many offensive holes that it's hard to say that they're ascending yet. Mm-hmm. I think Ron Rivera understands, I'm going to build this defense up like I did in Carolina with a great D-line and with fast linebackers and corners that can play. Like, his defenses in Carolina were unbelievable. And then I'll get to the offense. We'll find out along the way if we have a QB. We have a dude, Terry McLaurin. We're going to have to find a replacement for Adrian Peterson. We thought we had one in-house. He's gone out of the league. So there's so many questions. You can't say they're ascending. They're just kind of stagnant because they were so talent depleted. I feel they're just kind of stagnant.
I agree on the Cowboys. I think that the Redskins are still more tank in that they're really not playing for anything this year. And I do think, like, if you give them Ja'Marr Chase next year and you play him opposite McLaurin with Dwayne, and you go, I mean, like, let's say you could go get Kareem Hunt to play running back, who will be a free agent. Okay. Now we're headed somewhere.
Yep.
Now you're headed somewhere.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
So I think that's an interesting one. We will hit the Eagles and the Giants coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
If it's Buckeye football you crave, you come to the right place. And if it's day drinking you crave, you've also come to the right place. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. A linebacker and a man of leisure.
This doesn't even make sense.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, we continue in the NFC East. We are in Philly with the Eagles. And the Carson Wentz referendum year. They've paid him all the money in the world. It's been strange the way it's been in the locker room there in terms of liking him or not liking him. They were so depleted at receiver last year that they had you and I could have walked in and played receiver last year the way that it was at the end of the season. They addressed that in the draft with Jalen Reagor, the wide receiver out of TCU. They get Jalen Hurts in the second round, which has certainly raised some eyebrows there. They did trade for Darius Slay because they were bad at corner. They lose Malcolm, so they lose that on the back end. This is a playoff team from a year ago at 9-7. What do you see this year, sir?
Well, I see a team that is, I think, a shell of what it was. You have injuries already happening at wideout. You have, was it Jason Peters saying, if you want to play me at left tackle, you better pay me. You know, so that's great camaraderie over there on that side of the ball. Miles Sanders, I love. I think it's been a nice player for them on offense. You look at their backups, though, Corey Clement, and you're kind of like, okay. You know, losing Malcolm in the leadership there, their D-line, Brandon Graham's getting up there. I mean, he was a first-round pick back in 2010. Fletcher Cox is still, you know, elite on the inside. I like T.J. Edwards, linebacker there. We remember him from Wisconsin. But I don't see a ascending team, if you will, with this. I see a team that had their Super Bowl glory and has been trying to patchwork it since to try to keep things nice and neat and kind of in the work. I just don't. Would you be surprised, Bo, if at some point this year Carson Wentz gets hurt and Jalen Hurts comes in and just, not that he like tears up the NFL, but that because of his leadership and his, there is a
he'll have the room.
Yes, there's a certain kind of, I'm trying to think of the right word, but
there's definitely a disconnect between Wentz and the rest of that team.
Like a fragrance. There's a leadership fragrance of Hurts where people just like, he's not loud.
Oh yeah,
he's not vocal. But he's almost, there's like a gravity to him of when you talk to people who have been around him at different schools, that people just are attracted to being around that kind of leadership, that kind of toughness. So
Chris Long will fight you on the Carson Wentz stuff, though. Like, he is adamant about Carson, about how special he is and what he can be. So
he will.
This is a Carson Wentz referendum year. There's no question. You know, in terms of what is he special? This is a guy who would have won the MVP had he not gotten hurt the year they won the Super Bowl. He would have won the MVP. He was going to win it. He was headed that way. Conversely, we have the New York Giants. And they go Andrew Thomas in the draft. They get Xavier McKinney out of Alabama as well. In free agency, they kind of hang out. This is where your boy Joe Judge is. This is a brutal division, is what this is. I mean, the Cowboys could go 13-3, just feasting on this, because this is just, these teams stink, and this team stinks. This Giants team stinks.
When you look at, so we've gone through the West, South, the North, right? And so the West, you're like, gosh, there's some good football teams. Arizona could be right around 500 ascending. Heck, the Rams could be 7-9 and be fourth. You look at the North, and you're like, you feel like the Bears are going to be in the basement, but Detroit could surprise people. Green Bay, Minnesota are at the top there. We've looked at the South and Tampa, New Orleans. I mean, you're Atlanta, if they have a bounce back year and stay healthy. Some people think Atlanta is better than Tampa, which I think is insane. But look, the East is where people are going to get their dubs. That's where they're going to beat them up, right?
Yeah. Be interesting to see who their crossover teams are, because I would bet on those teams all going over their over-unders.
Yes. Yes. And the Giants are most certainly that team. Like, when you look, you see Saquon Barkley, you're like, yes, love it. Love it. You see Evan Ingram, love it. Great. Sterling Shepard's nice. Golden Tate's been dealing with stuff. That's it. I just listed everything optimistic. Right? I mean,
yeah, there's nothing else.
You got Leonard Williams, but he's been traded from his original drafted team, which means that they didn't think that he was a franchise, you know, that dude kind of guy. There's just a lot of, they're just so far behind in this build. And the frustrating thing has to be for Giants fans is that you're so far behind, and yet you still, you know, your front office is going to try to build with a goofball of a head coach, it looks like, and a quarterback that only your GM was really, I mean, your GM loved him.
Right.
And so there's a lot of, you know what I mean? So you'll be like, it's not even the fact of like, at least Washington knows. So there's some fans of Washington who think Dwayne is the future. And I'm sure there's some Giants who think Dan Jones is. But
sure.
Washington, and maybe it's my bias because I've seen plenty of snaps on Dwayne and not enough of Dan Jones, and it's going to be an unbelievable referendum on the both of them because same draft class, right? So they'll be right there in division. I don't have the confidence as like the Giants are going to try to build around Danny Jones. Like, how many guys are truly going to believe on offense? They're going to say, yeah, I want to go to New York, pay all those extra taxes, you know, do all this extra. For him at quarterback? And so they're going to have to almost solely do it through the draft. And then how long do you give Joe Judge? And it tells you they better win early, and I don't think they will. But they better win early because all this, you know, rah-rah stuff that Joe Judge is doing only works if you win.
It only works if you win, and I don't see many. This team looks like it would be in the hunt with – to me, it looks like it would be a team to be in the hunt with Jacksonville. In the not quite, they're not quite as bad as Jacksonville, but they could be a 4-12 situation here pretty easily. Let's hit the categories. Could you live vacation here, Philly and New York?
I could do a weekend to New York. I could do a weekend to Philly. I would not want to live in either.
No, I'm not.
Although Malcolm loved Philly. Malcolm loved Philly, but not my cup of tea, if you will.
I don't know enough about Philly. It's honestly, it's a city I've never been to.
Yeah.
So it's just one that I've, for whatever reason, I just haven't been there, so I can't speak to that.
There's cool history. There's really cool history.
I love Philly a lot. I went to Philly 2 years ago, and it was great.
It's not your time to talk.
Chops, is it 1048?
Well, I'm filling in for somebody who's actually been to Philly.
Is it 1048 yet?
Whether it's justified or not is irrelevant. I don't think I'd want to live in either place. If you're going to live in New York, I mean, like with a family, you'd have to be New Jersey, I think, right? That's where you got to go.
Yeah.
Or you got to go to Connecticut. And the football, the team is in New Jersey, obviously, so I guess that would make some sense there. But no, and New York's great for a weekend.
Jersey, I think the Jersey Shore show ruined New Jersey for me.
Well, yeah, the Sopranos would get some of it back because that would be more northern New Jersey.
There's just a whole lot of Jersey where, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I spent a lot of time in Newark and Piscataway, I can tell you that.
Yes, yes. Do you like their QB situations here?
I really like Wentz. I'm not sure I love because of the injuries, right? And you're right, he's so polarizing. So I talked to Chris about him. He loves him. Thinks he was like an MVP if he could stay healthy, but then he's had really weird leadership quirks that you don't know are true or not, but where there's smoke, there's usually a little fire. I don't like Dan Jones at all. I don't.
I don't either.
Danny Dimes.
No, like me either. I do like Wentz. What I think, you know, I do. I like him. I think he seems to be like a franchise quarterback to me. Dan Jones, I don't buy. Super Bowl playoff ascending, road to nowhere, tank.
So, Eagles to me are, they're like hanging onto the cliff, right? You know, it's like the movies where the guy's, you know, rock climbing.
Yeah.
And they got to either cut the rope or do something because you feel like he's about to fall.
They probably think they're a playoff team, though, right?
They do. If they have Wentz, they think they're a playoff team. But for the Giants?
Tank, man.
Boy, tank.
Yeah.
Isn't it hard to say the word tank, though, when a team thinks they have a quarterback?
It is, but it doesn't mean that it's... I mean, tank just means they're going to be in the tank, not necessarily that they're tanking. Like, they will be...
So, yes, Giants are tanked.
They're going to be bad. Yeah, they're going to be bad. They'll be in the 4-12 world. I have the Eagles in the 8-8.
That meant they really were last year. Should both be 4-12. 4-12, 5-11.
Yeah. Not Redskins. And the Cowboys Washington and the Eagles. So the Eagles could sneak into the playoffs. You have 7 playoff teams. They could sneak in just because of how bad the bottom two teams in this division are. They could. It's pretty wild.
Although, I don't think they're going to win their crossovers, right? I mean...
No, probably not.
Try picking those playoff teams out of from the west, south, north... And then just Dallas from here. That's the way I looked.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Yeah. I had 2 from the other ones and just Dallas from here as well. Matt Lombardo covers the Giants for NewJersey.com. He joins us next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Rothman and Ice, the hardest working radio show in the business. This may offend our other shows, but honestly, they're too lazy to care.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan, a show that knows its limitations.
You'll learn to control that.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis here on The Fan. Matt Lombardo going to join us here momentarily from NewJersey.com. When you hit on it when we were... I was looking at, usually we go through kind of the pecking order when we're done with the guests. We'll just do that now. Very clearly, Dallas, Philly, Washington, Giants, or you can flip Washington, Giants. I would have Washington ahead of the Giants. Giants just seem lost to me. The other two, I mean, I could see Philly getting in at 9-7. It would depend on the crossover matchups, but I'm looking at around the rest of this league, and you think about where your 7 playoff teams going to come from. Because remember, guys, we're 7 this year, not 6. And I've got 2 from the west, the south, the north. I was just curious if my second one would be the second team from the north, like the Packers, or if it would be Philly. That was kind of the conversation I had, because if you I had Seattle, San Francisco, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Vikings, Cowboys as locks, and then the battle for the last spot was the Packers slash Lions, Philly were the ones I considered there, just because of how tough some of those other divisions are.
Yeah, so their crossovers are with the NFC West, okay, and the AFC North is the NFC in the East. So, you know, you look through your schedule, you're at Washington, okay, host the Rams, probably a win. If you're healthy, if you're Philly, but really a toss-up, host the Bengals. So are you 3-0 or are you 2-1? You know? But going to San Francisco, how about this stretch? At San Fran, at Pittsburgh, host Ravens.
So probably be lucky to get one out of the three.
Yeah. And then, you know, division games, 3 in a row. And then at Cleveland, home versus Seattle, at Green Bay. Oh, how about this crossover game? Home versus New Orleans at Arizona. So how are you getting 9 wins out of that?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's going to be tough sledding.
Unless you
got to go 3-0 to start.
And here's the thing, though. That's unless Dallas doesn't go 13-3. You know, that's assuming, like, what, you know, this is the NFC East. If the Cowboys underperform, like, I expect Dallas to beat everybody in the division twice. Now, will it happen? Probably not, because this team has underachieved, and plus it's hard. It's really hard to do. It's really hard to win every single divisional game. It really is. I mean, New England has made it look easy over the years, and even they have lost to Miami every once in a while when Miami's been poor. But I'm telling you, from being usually the team in the three or four spot in the NFC West, like when Seattle came to town, we had their number. You just know what they are. You know how to play them. They probably hated playing at noon, which would be, you know, 10 a.m. kickoff for them back in Seattle a dome that would be half filled. There are a lot of factors that go into it, but I just don't see 9 wins for Philly.
Yeah, it's hard to get there when you think of the crossover game. So for perspective, Dallas just goes at Rams, Atlanta in Dallas, at Seattle versus Cleveland. They've got to go 2-2 out of that stretch. They've got to go 2-2 out of that stretch, because the next stretch is really forgiving, because it's Giants and Arizona at home. Those should both be dubs. At Washington, at Philly, you should go 3-1 in that stretch. So now you're 5-3. Then it's Pittsburgh, at Minnesota, Washington, and Baltimore is the next four. Hopefully for 2-2 in that stretch. And then they close Cincinnati, San Francisco, Philly, and the Giants. So if you go 3-1, now you're 11 wins is where you ought to be for the Cowboys. That ought to be the expectation. That's the easiest way to do it, is just look at four separate four-game stretches, and you just say, what do you need to do in these in order to make the postseason? And for Dallas, in order to win to get to the division, you did that game with Philly. It's tough to get it. It's tough to see it there. You know, it's really hard. And that also leads to the idea of that's how Washington and the Giants could be 3-13.
Yep.
Because where are their wins coming when they got to play the NFC West and the AFC North?
Yep.
Where are those wins
coming? Eagles. How about for that? Yeah. I mean, you're talking about possible 0-8 versus those two. That's 8 losses right there, you know, for your two crossover divisions, let alone in your own division. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's really...
It's hard
really
as a fan to look at the schedule and be like, I don't see us beating... Like, if you're the Giants, can you even bank on beating the Bengals?
Oh, no. No, that's a toss-up game. Look for Dwayne. So Dwayne goes Philly at home to start, then at Arizona, at Cleveland versus Baltimore, then the Rams, Giants, Cowboys, Giants, Detroit, Cincinnati. So that's a little more forgivable. At Dallas, boy, at this stretch is crazy for Dwayne. At Dallas, at Pittsburgh, at San Francisco, 3 in a row on the road, then Seattle at home, Carolina at home, at Philly. So that's how they finish. So I could get to 4 or 5 wins maybe in that one. But that's the game you play with these, is what do they do in 4-game stretches. So did you settle on the Packers as your 7th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So the teams receive the 1 seed. Man, honestly, Dallas could be a 1.
They could.
I mean, the crossover's tough.
Yep.
I could see Tampa Bay being the 1, too. Or New Orleans, whoever wins that division at like 12-4 or something like that could be there. I love Seattle. They'd probably be my pick to be the NFC champion would be Seattle right now. But that division's so hard. I just don't know if they can get to it. Now, San Francisco got to 13-3 last year there.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
So it can be done. It certainly can be done. We'll hit the AFC starting tomorrow on the program. We hit Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Simultaneously passing the eye test, the smell test, and the ear test.
Huge win. That's a big win.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And time for a little Thing or Not a Thing. Choppers here. Go.
Bishop and Laurinaitis. Thing or Not a Thing.
All right, here we go. Hall of Fame guard Steve Nash has signed a 4-year contract to become the next coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Thing or not a thing?
Well, theoretically, he'd be coaching Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, so good luck with that.
Yeah.
I understand why you'd want to do it. Like, you're trying to find your way and what to do and what your passion's going to be, and you go back to basketball. Living in Brooklyn probably be cool. That'd probably be a fine place to live. He's got a great place in Manhattan Beach. But still, it seems like a really uphill sled trying to coach those two.
Risky, because guess what? If they don't like you, you'll be gone in a second.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, in a second. So, I'll just say not a thing, because the stars run the thing anyway. You know, the stars run it, especially those two.
Yeah.
After feedback from the community opposing their plan to have 25,000 fans at their home opener, Iowa State has reversed the decision and will play in an empty stadium. Thing or not a thing?
This is why it's a thing, but this is why that none of this stuff matters until it's time to play a game. Mm-hmm. It's all nonsense until it's the day before the game and you're actually playing.
Yeah.
We have so far to go. So far to go.
Yeah. But we're not even on the 1-yard line of like the big schools.
No, from a timeline standpoint, we're not. No.
We got a while. And I think some of the recent outbreaks in that part of the country are probably to lead for this. I mean, heck, if you look at the positivity rates right now in the Dakotas, now, it could be related to the Sturgis bicycle rally. What do you think about
right,
that?
Right, right.
It could be it. But... let me see the map. Yeah, Iowa, 19% infection rate right now. 19%. Dakotas, 22%. The only one, you know, leading the way down there in the south is, you know, 33%. Is that Alabama? Yep. Alabama. Nothing to see here, though. Roll Tide.
ESPN's Mark Spears with this one. Thunder guard Chris Paul says referee Scott Foster made a point to tell him before the Game 7 loss to the Rockets last night that he also reffed his Game 7 loss to the Spurs in 2008 when CP was with the Hornets. Thing or not a thing?
It's a weird thing to say, obviously. It's a very, very strange thing to say. The NBA has had a problem with their officiating for a long time.
Yeah.
This isn't new. They've had a problem for a very, very long time.
I think some people are just weird, too. Like, this might not... to me, it's not maybe a thing to, like, look into that he was, like, hoping he lost or anything, but there's just some weird people, you know?
Yeah, there are.
You know, like, every once in a while, I'll run into somebody in an elevator. I feel like I should know you. Really? I don't know how to respond to that, sir. Tell me who you are. This is awkward. Why? Why we gotta do this? Throw out a name. I'll tell you yes or no. I'm not wearing an ID badge that says my name on it, all right? I'm just trying to.
You gotta be like Philip on The Americans. Just always have a wig ready.
It's true. Philip is me. My goodness, what a show! Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah, he gets after it.
Oh, by the way, it tends to be real. You know, as the fact as if you didn't see the news, I've been living under a rock. Watch The Americans about Russian spies and realize that an anti Putin guy just got nerve poisoned and sent to
Germany. Yeah, in Germany.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson gave an update on his groin injury on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Quote, it's 100%, it's 100 now. Thing or not a thing?
It's as big a thing as can be. He's the MVP of the league off of the most, one of the most, historically speaking, a season we've never seen before.
Yep.
And his team was 14-2. They were picked by many to win the Super Bowl, and they opened against a team that we care about and talk about a lot in the Browns in week one. So it's as big a thing as you can get.
I cannot think of a more, well, there's some, but as far as musculature, right? Injuries to athletes, hammies, groins. Can you think of, besides the NHL goaltender, what a sore groin would do to the Ravens? You know, like, think about that. Like,
oof.
Lamar Jackson, anything on his lower body, sprained ankle, hamstring, and immediately he takes away his biggest threat. And it's the fear of him dropping it down and running. So, mm-hmm. It's a huge thing.
Panthers owner David Tepper on some teams having fans in their stands this year. Quote, it's hard not to have fans in the building, especially going to be hard not to have fans in the building if all of our division rivals have fans in their building. Say building one more time. We hope that we will have it and not have that competitive disadvantage. Thing or not a thing?
It's a thing. I'm surprised that Goodell is allowing, right now appears to be allowing some to have and some not. I'm surprised that he's doing that because the NFL is built on everybody playing on an equal playing field, level playing field. So I'm a little bit surprised by that. I will say, though, and if you've ever been to like the Ohio High School Football Championships at the Shoe, when there's 20% capacity or 15% capacity in a big building, it's not that loud.
Right.
It's not much of a home field advantage. It's a little, they're there, but they're going to be they're not even going to be in like one place so that sound can kind of be, you know, there's momentum to the sound. I mean, you're going to be spread out all over the stadium. So I don't know that, I'm sure you're going to be able to hear just fine.
And the NFL anyway is trying to figure out what decibel level is okay for the piped in sound. So really, are the fans, you know, are the fans even going to make a difference? Like if you have 15,000 fans there at any stadium, but yeah, you're piping in sound anyway.
Right.
And is that sound only after plays to, like, say, oh, yay, we're cheering for a good play for our home team? Or if you're on defense, are you allowed to pipe in sound?
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
You know? Because if that's the case, the fans are irrelevant. Because the sound noise is going to be louder than what the fans are doing anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Just saw this one come across the Twitter homepage. The Cubs announced a partnership with DraftKings that's worth around $100 million.
Huge deal.
It will include the construction of a sports book at Wrigley Field or in the Wrigleyville area. Thing or not a thing?
Well, here you go. And we've been talking about this for a long time. I used to talk about this with AR. I remember with AR, and he can vouch for this. This was like 2012-ish, us saying that like because there was starting to be a huge... Actually, we'll expand on this at 11 because it deserves a little bit more than the time we have right now. But
yeah,
it's definitely a thing.
It's a huge thing, and tip the cap to the Cubs doing it. You know, I can think of two places, Wrigley and over there at Fenway, as two places where you're like that you'd almost expect because of the historical nature of their buildings and franchises that they'd be probably last to come on this. Nope, we're gonna try to find a way to you know, do this for our fans here, whether it's actually in Wrigley Field or whether it's at Wrigleyville. But I'd say it's a huge thing because it's
huge.
The start. It's the start of what the future will look like. In a decade, you'll walk into every single arena and stadium and have a place to place a bet.
And last one, two pilots on two different flights reported seeing a man in a jetpack thousands of feet in the air above Los Angeles on Sunday, prompting an investigation by authorities. Thing or not a thing?
Had to be Elon Musk, right?
You would think it had to have a Tesla logo. And the other thing is, I mean, the guy's putting a chip in pig's brains for crying out loud. I sent you that clip.
You did, yeah.
Look.
Just make the cars. The cars are great. Keep making them.
Keep making. The thing is the best thing is that the pilot's response after reporting it over air traffic control goes, like the things you see in L.A. or had to be in L.A. Like that was, like, it was like, wasn't even abnormal. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
L.A. LAX, sure, jetpack, totally
jetpack.
Normal. What are we doing?
I would want to check with air traffic control before I was on a jetpack at 13,000 feet in the air. Probably would want to make sure that I'm staying clear of things. We'll get into that sports betting thing because that's a big one we will hit.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. That, and we will return back to the conversation about the Big Ten, and is there enough time to play, and what would that look like, and who will play? frankly? That's a pretty big question as well. We'll do all of that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
One guy is fat.
The other is fatter.
And both are kind of stupid. Pretty much sums up the whole show.
Uh-huh.
Common Man and Tebow.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan. Pushing the limit of how many times you can say the word thing in one show.
That's the next thing.
That is the next thing.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
You know, I hear Matt do those updates, and I just think to myself, that guy's got to be like one of the future voices of the Cincinnati Reds. He's just got, it's just perfect tenor for baseball.
Yeah, he is.
He really is. Baseball. He's just, I know. I mean, you could tell, just to, but I mean, just the perfect.
One of the 348 people in the city that love it. Him, Matt,
well,
Hayes,
look.
Mike.
Right? Or the people that do, yeah. God bless him. We're lucky that there's a lot of things right now to choose from. I wanted to circle back on that sports book.
So talented is Maddie.
That's right.
So talented.
I want to circle back on that sports book conversation just briefly. Mm-hmm. This has been coming for a long time. It's been happening in Europe forever, where you could bet, you know, sports books at the soccer venues, and so it was something that's been coming for a long time. It finally gets there. It's finally pushed through. A big part of this, and I remember having this conversation years ago with AR, was the stay-at-home experience for sports is so great.
Mm-hmm.
HD, yep. 75-inch screens, your
cheap
own bathroom,
yes.
Cheap drinks,
yes.
Food that you want when you want it, an ability to get to turn it off without
bagel
losing $1,000 on
bites.
The investment. Bagel bites, pizza rolls. What are
just
we talking
absolutely
about?
Burning the roof of your mouth.
There's no food that I think I've ever eaten in my life that I, every time eat it, burn my mouth, knowing that it's going to burn, thinking it's going to cool like pizza rolls. Now, I probably have them once or twice a year for the boys. Used to crush them.
Is it the Schwan's, Chuck? Is it the Schwan's? Do you get it on the Schwan's?
No,
we used to get it on the Schwan's.
Well, the Schwan's, we used to have that for sure.
The bagel bites.
I don't know if Schwan's is around
pizza
here.
Rolls. Oh, it's around. I don't know if it's around you. Cause, I mean,
do you see it zipping
I'm
around?
I'm sure they don't want to enter three different gate codes to get to your
doorstep.
You got
to do the retina scan.
You know, like, oh, hey, turn left. Okay. oh, what is this? Bo, can you send me the code? Thanks. That's the first one. You know, then you have to say hi to the security guard. You know, hey,
yeah, right.
Here for the Bishop family. Okay, proceed.
Yeah.
Let's put this tracking device on your car. And make sure you don't take anything. And then they get to your driveway, and it's a retina scan.
That's right. Just all that, just get in.
It's
so it's hard for
that.
The Schwan's man. I get that.
You have to walk out. It has to be
that's hard,
for you. Because you have to walk out to the end of your driveway and put your eyeball on the scan.
Well, as you know, I don't walk. I take the golf cart out there. I'm not walking all the
way
down.
True.
It's too far.
That's true.
It's too far.
It's a long driveway.
It is. Very long. Such a jerk. The pizza rolls that I think they're the Totino's. Maybe they're in the yellow.
They are. Yes, they are.
That's it. Yeah, they're in the yellow with the pepperoni. And so I bought some up at the lake, and I cooked some for the boys a couple of weeks ago. And I'm staring at them, and I'm looking at them, and I'm going, I know you thing that you guys are just little.
That's right.
Just boiling. Ears up at the lake, and I cooked some for the boys a couple of weeks ago. And I'm staring at him and I'm looking at him and I'm going, I know you thing that you guys are just little,
that's right.
Just boiling. You're as hot as hot can be, and it
comes out. That's why
it does. Yeah,
and you get misled by the slight little like slit. There's always a slit on one of the other sides.
Always
of
a
the
slit.
Roll.
Yep.
And so you think,
oh,
surely
it's
they're cooling
out.
Down. Yeah, it's cooling
no,
down
not.
Quite nicely. Meanwhile, the cheese is still bubbling and boiling, and you're like, no, that can't be. That doesn't mean it's hot. Let me
can't
take
be a problem.
This. I'll take a little nibble.
It's a little nibble on the corner.
Third degree burns on your gums and your lips. What did I just do?
It gets you every single time. But they're so good. They're so good. So on the sports betting, because of all, who's going to score the touchdown on this series? Maybe not for college, but who's going to score on this touchdown? Who's going to score on this series for the Browns?
Yep.
Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. Here are the odds of every guy. Is this a three and out? I mean, I think it'll evolve to that, to where there's that type
I do too. What is the number one investment into all of these stadiums right now? Like when you see
it's
these
stadiums
Wi-Fi, go up,
and,
it's
and
Wi-Fi.
Fiber?
It's Wi-Fi. Yeah. Ohio Stadium's Wi-Fi, you know, updates. It's putting it in the handrails. I remember reading a thing on U.S. Bank Stadium up in Minneapolis. The amount of Wi-Fi extenders and routers they have—they're in every single handrail throughout the entire stadium. And it's because they want to have a seamless – they know people are going to be checking their fantasy football stuff on their phones while sitting in a seat. And so
– that's right.
How does that then build to, on your phone, you can place a bet with the betting house in stadium on things you just mentioned. Who's going to score the next touchdown for the Vikings? Boom, yeah. You bet it. Next thing you know, you leave the game instead of just getting out. You know what? I'm going to go cash out. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. And then you're on your way. Or don't even have to cash out in person. You know what? We'll just send it to your app. And it'll be a floating little account. I mean, there's ways to set it up, the infrastructure, to encourage people to get both. How do I get the, and you're on your way? Or don't even have to cash out in person. You know what? We'll just send it to your app. And it'll be a floating little account. I mean, there's ways to set it up, the infrastructure, to encourage people to get both. How do I get the, and you're on your way? Or don't even have to cash out in person. You know what? We'll just send it to your app. And it'll be a floating little account. I mean, there's ways to set it up, the infrastructure, to encourage people to get both. How do I get the, and you're on your way? Or don't even have to cash out in person. You know what? We'll just send it to your app. And it'll be a floating little account. I mean, there's ways to set it up, the infrastructure, to encourage people to get both. How do I get the, and you're on your way? Or don't even have to cash out in person. You know what? We'll just send it to your app. And it'll be a floating little account. I mean, there's ways to set it up, the infrastructure, to encourage people to get both. How do I get the ease of at home stadium down there?
Yeah.
But that's, to people that want to do a little bit of both, that's what this is going to target.
It also, it's one thing that you can't get in the at-home experience. Would be yep. the live betting.
Yep.
You're not going to be able to get that at home. So that that would be something that could draw you back to the stadium. I do wonder over the next decade or so if that is something that happens. I also wonder if when new stadiums are built, instead of going
to be there in person and not be late.
I got to be very honest with you. I have no interest in seeing any game on our schedule of note at noon. And I love noon games. I like let's get them in, get them out. I have the rest of the night ahead of me. I love it. That's why, I mean, we grew up on in the western part of the United States where games were on early and you yep. still had a whole night ahead of you. So, you know, I do love a noon kick, but there you can't argue that the atmosphere for a noon kick is the same as an atmosphere for a 3:30 or a night. It's just not. It's not close. And you lose some of that from a recruiting standpoint. It's a tremendous disadvantage. Big noon kick's a tremendous disadvantage for the Big Ten Conference. Mm-hmm. From a recruiting, getting guys in there, how do you get them in?
Yeah.
They play it Friday is. Night in the South. How the heck are you going to get them to the stadium and yeah. get them for the visits?
Yeah.
How the heck are you going to get somebody to Happy Valley? We're Columbus. I mean, we don't have that big of a problem. I mean, Ann Arbor has Detroit. That's not that big of a problem.
Right.
But how are you
right.
going to get a, how are you going to get a kid from the South into Happy Valley for noon kick?
Yep.
Like, if Ohio State at Penn State would have been done at noon this year, Penn State would have wanted every recruit that they were recruiting at that game.
Right.
How are they going to get him there?
It's almost impossible because honestly, like in Columbus, the good thing is that it's even though it's a tight squeeze, because of the South, everyone flies through Atlanta on Delta, and Delta yeah. comes here. You can get a Saturday morning flight connecting through Atlanta. Now you got to get up super early after playing a Friday night
6
game, which stinks.
Yep.
You know, but there's no way because those same kids are going Delta through Atlanta through. Either to Harrisburg and driving, or they're going to have to go through D.C. and Reagan and then go over to Happy Valley. And, I mean, it's unbelievable. Think about how much more money Penn State has to pay, too, to fly those kids into there. Same problem that Lincoln, Nebraska, that they have in Lincoln. I mean, I wonder if they just fly them to Omaha and just say, hey, we'll have a nice car waiting for
Send
you.
Cars.
Fly down, you know, 80 miles per hour down the highway.
Recruiting host to send a nice car and hope for the best, I guess. I've seen right. about the kids from like Fort Lauderdale.
Exactly. Put a like, put a dime in the car.
Know, yeah, right.
Hi, see? I'm here to show you around.
There you go. Fort Lauderdale to, like, you think like the St. Thomas Aquinas guys coming up even to here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an hour and a half flight, if memory serves, from like Fort Lauderdale to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's two plus from Atlanta to here.
Yeah.
You're talking three plus of just air travel, let alone. So if you leave at 6... You're into Atlanta by 7:30. You got to have at least an hour in between. That's 8:30. 2.5 hours up here. You're talking between 10:30 and 11. You land, and that's if it all goes smoothly. And then you still got to get to the stadium. We don't have a chopper, so you got to take a car to get to the stadium to try to be there. That's tough. That's a tough window, yep. man.
Yep, it is, and it stinks for us. But I also know, being behind the scenes, it was a huge smash for Fox.
Oh, they crushed it.
Huge smash.
It's a huge win for them.
Because
no question.
The reality
they played
is,
us every week. We were on every week.
Yep. The every week, and what they found is people are actually just kind of keeping their TVs on Fox Sports for the next game. So they have used Ohio State to then gain eyeballs on their Baylor-Oklahoma State 3:30 kick, you know, to where Buckeye fans are just still drinking and partying and celebrating it, and that game just kind of stays on unless, you know, now some people switch over to the SEC game.
Yeah.
But
it was really smart because the ABC ESPN package punted on noon. Like, that was, you know, an afterthought game was typically at noon, unless it was like Red River or something like that, that historically is at noon. But for years, they'd punted on it, and they'd put the prime games in the 3:30 to set up their prime time windows of television. So they'd put them at 3:30 or night games. And so it was smart of Fox to say, here, hey, there's an avenue here where we can do something that would, that where we can make it. You start here, and then you stick with us throughout the day. Really smart move. And there's no question they benefited. I'm just not sure if the schools benefit. In the Big Ten. I'm not sure if they do from it. The ratings are great, but I think some of this stuff, it's just not as good. There's no way you're telling me a Penn State-Ohio State game at noon is as good as one at night. It's just not.
No, no.
There's no chance.
Especially, like, and if Fox is going to put that game at noon forever, you know, for being at Happy Valley, that whiteout isn't the same. I'm sorry.
No, it's over.
It's the night. It's the way the bright whites, you know, the lights are, the white shirts, everything about the contrast of it, the fact that that student body has been drinking and sitting in those tents all day from the night before, you know, versus them like sleepily waking up, eating leftover pizza that sat in their tent with them and stumbling into the stadium. They have a chance to recoup, take some electrolytes, keep the maybe even just keep the buzz going, drink a Red Bull or two, maybe a Monster you borrow from Schlage's. Next thing you know, you walk in, you're ready to go. You know, you're going crazy. You know,
that's pretty much exactly how that works.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB. Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Where are we with a restart of college football? Sean Callahan will join us. He's the publisher of Husker Online. He's been really dialed in on this Husker lawsuit. We will get to him at the bottom of the hour. Where are we in terms of return to play? Who would play? How would you play? Do you have time? What is Ohio State doing right now? We get to that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on the Fan.
Buckeyes, Jackets, hard-hitting talk, and Rothman saving dogs. You know, just a typical day at a sports radio station. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Top shelf conversation from top shelf gentlemen.
That's a pretty emphatic situation.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, so if somehow the Big Ten is going to get back to play, and if these tests were an inability to get them fast and cheap were a big reason for them not playing, and it certainly was a contributing factor. There's no question that the ability to test rapidly and high numbers cheaply would help. And that is a new development. That is something that we did not have a month ago. It's new now. Some of the other roadblocks, I believe, would still be there in terms of certainly the liability would still be there. And I still think that the amateurism is a tricky one here. You would obviously have to tell players. It would have to be their choice to play. You can't make them sign a waiver for that. So even if they choose to play and they get sick, I still think there's a way for a lawsuit there that would be pretty crippling. And we're still a long ways from actually playing games, right? So even if there is some sort of change in the Big Ten, the earliest would probably be October 10th. And you question, is that enough time to get ready? I would think it clearly is. You would know better than me that that's plenty of time for an Ohio State team to get ready. It'd be 6 weeks, and they've already been primed and ready for the last month or so, although they're not doing that type of practicing right now.
They are they're in fine shape. There's still a shape they need to get into. When you talk about 7-on-7, 11-on-11, scrimmaging, stuff like that, like there's a certain soreness they need to work through, but is a month good enough time? Yes. Yes, it is. But I would say you have a week. I would say by the 10th of September, you would like to know whether you're going to be playing on the 10th of October.
Yeah.
So I would like to, you know, you would hope that you have a week still to kind of figure this all out. And, you know, we'll see what I think there's, I'll put it this way. There's positive momentum. I would love to shoot a text out to other guys in the Big Ten and just say, you know, for instance, our guy Jay Layman, you know.
Jay Layman,
like,
yep.
What's the pulse of Illinois? What's the, you know, or Howard Griffin? Yeah. Like, what's the pulse? Like, are people making as much noise about it where you are as they are here?
And, my hunch would be no, but I'd be interested to hear what they had to say.
Yeah, and just kind of feel like, do they feel the same optimism that we do? Because I don't see any, I haven't really Googled it, probably my fault, but I haven't really seen other presidents of Big Ten schools come out and be, yep, we feel like we're safe to go forward, besides the chancellor at Nebraska.
Yeah.
Have we heard, I assuming I know what the person at Iowa thinks, but I haven't seen like a reverse course. I haven't seen Penn State's president come out and be like, you know what, I voted against the season, but
right.
Recent developments, I'm really encouraged that we actually
now
could.
I'm good.
You know, right. Like we haven't seen any of that. So
no, because it was one constant message from the Big Ten, although it's been really, there's been very little of it and it hasn't been consistent or very common. It's rare to get a statement it was never about testing. Yeah. I think they felt very good that they could test.
Yeah.
So I don't know that changes the bigger issue there. The other thing that you'd have to that I'm very curious to follow is, boy, how many more kids are going to opt out?
Right.
Jamie Newman opted out yesterday, the Georgia starting quarterback who transferred in from Wake Forest.
The starter, the guy had been practicing with the anticipation to play at the end of this month, and just yesterday goes, you know what? Nah.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah, we had Jamar Chase this week. We've had Micah Parsons and Rashad Bateman. We've had those guys in our league. We have not had Rondale any Buckeyes
Moore.
Yet.
Yep.
Rondale Moore. We haven't had any Buckeyes yet, but I still think that carrot of chasing a national championship and the culture that's here is preventing that from happening.
But Jamie Newman had the carrot. Like Jamie Newman
had a lot. He did, but he's not a Georgia guy. I mean, he played a whole career at Wake Forest.
He's not.
So
you would still think, okay, I have a chance to finally play on a big stage. A lot of eyeballs on me. You're currently ranked the sixth quarterback in the class. You go out there and have a heck of a year at Georgia in the SEC. Who knows? Who knows?
Right.
Think about this. Where was Joe Burrow ranked before last season?
Jamie Newman would have, if there was ever, it's the closest, if you're looking around the country to find a guy who could have had the Kyler, Baker, Jalen, Joe Burrow, he was the guy because their roster's loaded. They're playing an all SEC schedule. The attention would have been on him. The Pro Football Focus guys love him. Absolutely love him. And you put him with a good roster, he could have played himself into a high. I mean, he had a lot to gain.
Yes.
He had a lot to gain this year.
Yes.
Playing at Georgia. A lot to gain. The notoriety of being, if Georgia could somehow lead
to
something.
It's the first player I can think of that realistically had a national championship team. Like, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. LSU has no idea what they expect that quarterback. Right? Like, if you're Jamar Chase, you're thinking, new QB, my stats aren't going to be the same as last year. It might actually be worse. This is the time for me to opt out. Jamie Newman is a guy where, like, it was the first guy that really, I think, from a national title contending team said, no, I'm going to skip.
It's the first guy from a national title contending team with a lot to gain said, I'm going to skip.
Yes.
I mean, that's the other part of it. Like, Micah Parsons is known.
Right.
Bateman's known, Moore's known, the last two aren't national title. Penn State's on the cusp of that. But this is the first guy on a title contending team who has a lot to gain. Jamar Chase is going to be the first receiver off the board if he plays or not. There's no doubt.
Yep.
This kid, I don't know. I don't know where he's down the pecking order. I mean, anytime you look at quarterbacks, it's always Lawrence, Fields, Lance. So he's at least behind those three at the very least and could be very well behind. But if he played well at Georgia this year, he could vault right back in. So he had a lot to gain, and he said, no, I'm good. You got to remember, guys, this is early September.
Yep.
We're a long ways before you play games in the Power Five. Who's the first one? Is it still Oklahoma and them? Some of those Big 12 schools still the first to play? Are they scheduled to be the first to play? Because the SEC is at the end of the month, the very end of the month.
Let me see. Let's update. I feel like this thing is refreshing on the second.
I want to say it's the Big 12. I know Notre Dame plays like the 19th. And then from there, I was just curious how far out. I feel like the Big 12 is coming.
Central Arkansas back at it today.
UAB Saturday.
Yeah, just played Saturday. Got two games
tonight.
Run it back. Just keep pushing through. Middle Tennessee Army.
Three,
is that Saturday?
Army. Yeah. Well, BYU's playing Navy this weekend too. So the ACC is playing September 19th.
SMU's playing.
North Carolina is playing. Georgia Tech's playing. So let me see if there's anybody playing.
ACC's
North Carolina's
playing
next weekend.
As well, yeah.
Yeah, North Carolina is playing next weekend against Syracuse, Iowa, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Clemson. Yeah. They're playing next weekend. Texas, yeah. Oklahoma State.
How about next BYU weekend? Navy on Monday?
Oh, I'll watch that for sure.
Yeah.
But this is like next weekend, Clemson, Sooners, Texas, they're playing next weekend.
Next Thursday, UAB at Miami, Florida. We'll see De'Aaron King.
So it is getting
How's that
very
feel? A week from today, you have NFL and the Miami Hurricanes playing.
Yeah.
Buddy, it's real already for me this weekend. You talk about Army and Middle Tennessee, those are two teams that I'm not like they have huge expectations, but when you see Southern Methodist and Texas State playing Saturday, I'm gonna watch. Why? Because SMU has a good team. They have a historical university and that'll affect, Ohio's team and Cincinnati and the Bearcats. You get to start watching games that you want to watch usually, but it's here. It's a month.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Yes, it's here. It's here, and Power 5 is next week. One of the biggest... one of the teams most upset, programs most upset, has been Nebraska. Sean Callahan covers it better than anybody. He's a publisher of Husker Online. He has been all over this player lawsuit. We'll have him on next for some perspective. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
The biggest guess, earth-shattering opinions, and Maddie making Anthony do push-ups during commercial breaks.
I can't feel my legs.
My bad, bro.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Two legends, one show.
Well, it's all a lie.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, Bo Bishop, James Laurinaitis with you here on a Thursday edition. We head on to the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Sean Callahan, our guest, publisher of Husker Online. Sean, thanks so much for the time. Let me just start before we get into the lawsuit and where we are with all of this. Let's just, in general, if Nebraska could leave this league tomorrow and the Big 12 would welcome them back and the money was within $10 million here or there, would they do it?
It's a great question. I think there are definitely people that would do it. The university people probably would not be a fan, but I don't think Scott. I think Scott Frost would be okay with it if you're asking me bluntly, just because of the proximity of the geography of the league, and Nebraska is obviously an outpost in the Big Ten. I mean, the closest drive is 4.5 hours from campus, and then after that in the division, you're 8-9 hour drives to a lot of the games. So I think it's been discussed. I think the Big 12 would take Nebraska back in the New York second, and they would add two teams if it were the right two teams. Would it be a Nebraska BYU? You hear A&M, kind of tired of getting beat around in the SEC West. They might want to go back to the Big 12. I mean, Arkansas has always been talked about, so who knows? But, if they play football October 10th, I don't think we're going to be worried about that for a while.
That's true, no.
Sean, this lawsuit here has been the little engine that could. The Big Ten's representation comes out and says, look, we don't have to share anything for 8 student athletes. And people had a huge uproar over that number, because there's only 8 on the lawsuit. But we know it's a lot more than just 8 that care about this. And they keep getting small little victories. I'm wondering, from here in Columbus, people it seems loud. It seems like the entire conference cares about, getting this thing restarted in October. And I'm sure it's the same in Lincoln. But do you get the sense it's the same as you go to, as we talk about Champaign, Illinois, Evanston, Illinois, if you go to Minneapolis, Minnesota? Do you feel that there really is this outrage in those parts of the country as well?
It's bizarre because you're right, James. I think there's 3 or 4 places, Minneapolis being one for sure, and Northwestern I think I would throw in there, and Purdue. I've heard Purdue is okay with where things are at right now, and that one surprises me considering who their president is there, and we'll see kind of where that all goes. But the thing with the lawsuit, I think a lot of teams were interested. I can tell you Ohio State had high-level officials talking to Nebraska about it behind the scenes and had a lot of interest in, they I don't know if they entertained doing something similar in Ohio, but the way it went together from Nebraska last week, they went in, filed the suit at like 1 o'clock on Thursday, and by 3 o'clock the Big Ten was called into court. And anybody that knows the legal system, that doesn't happen very often where, somebody as big and powerful as the Big Ten is called into court, not only court, but in Lincoln, Nebraska, kind of a hostile territory for them to go into right now. And I know just from a source I talked to with the legal team for Nebraska, they thought there was about a 25% chance that was going to happen, and it did happen. And then they obviously fired back on Monday with their 23-page response. Nebraska fired back. But the big thing yesterday was the judges said, you know what, you need to provide more information. And I don't know what that's going to lead to other than just continuing to keep the ball in play. And that's really what Ohio State and Nebraska, I think, have done. They've kept this fight going 12 rounds. About a week ago, it felt like the Big Ten was trying to turn the page and move it forward to the spring plan. You had Jeff Brohm release his big plan. Other people talk about their plans. But Ohio State and Nebraska kept fighting in this fight to get to where we're at, possibly with a revote maybe on Friday.
Sean Callahan, our guest, publisher of Husker Online. He's been the foremost expert on this lawsuit at Nebraska and where we are with the Big Ten. And honestly, a kindred spirit for us because James and I feel like we're in, and those of us here at the station in Columbus and around Buckeye fans in general kind of feel like you're operating in a silo a little bit. Like there's so much anger here about what's happened. Part of that has to do with that we got a team that we think can win a national championship. But part of that is just how much football means here. The one thing that I am stuck on a little bit, Sean, is this. And we saw the news from the president, and our own Bobby Carpenter has been big on this with the testing and the rapid testing from the Abbott Laboratories and all that, which is based right here in Columbus. I've always feared, and I think that what I'm hoping this lawsuit gives out, maybe not fear, but I've always thought that the real thing that the Big Ten was worried about here was liability and amateurism. And I'm wondering if those two things would be exposed, and maybe that's what they're trying to keep quiet. I never thought the problem was the testing, Sean.
Yeah, I know when they had the medical meetings, though, that's what really got it going to shut it down. They went into camp on, Thursday and Friday of that week, and by Saturday morning, they were on the phone with ADs and kind of told where it was heading. And, you know, I was told Kevin Warren had, you know, different calls with the ADs, different calls with the medical people, and different calls with the presidents. He never let them all speak as one. And Nebraska's athletic director, Bill Moose, was on our TV show Tuesday night here, and he said, if we ever do this again, we're going to do it a lot differently. Because on a decision of this magnitude, which I think when you go back to that moment in time, nobody even thought it was a reality. I mean, you just had a freaking TV show for 3 hours breaking down the schedule. And by the way, the Big Ten Network had no idea the league was going to make that decision. Most people thought when that decision came through, it was going to be a September 26th kick the can down the road deal, which it probably should have been. And even the Big Ten Network had no idea that this was coming down the way it did. I think we all got caught off guard how and why it went down. If you're going to make something of this magnitude, you need the athletic directors and the medical people and the presidents to speak as one instead of having them, as Bill Moose said, in separate silos, where Kevin Warren was kind of the messenger that went from silo to silo to silo and kind of controlled the message as he spoke to each group where it was heading. And I would hope if they do this again, it's going to be a lot different.
Sean, if they do this again, if there is another vote, say it's tomorrow, I'm wondering, do you know where, like, what place they're voting from? Like, because I think what we learned out of this 11-3 vote is that the Big Ten needs 9 votes to do anything, right, out of the 14 to make anything happen. Are they going to re-vote from a place of no, meaning like we have to basically flip 6 presidents, or is it a total scrap, start over? You know, because I'm trying to figure out what's the new protocol. Do we have any idea, who do we have to start kind of offering cabinet positions to try to get, you know, 6 new votes to play a football season?
Yeah, so what's going on now, I was told last night, or there's a behind-the-scenes straw poll where, you know, you're getting a tally. And if they can get the 9 or more votes, then there would be a formal revote. But you're not going to go to a formal revote if you know you don't have the 9. It, you know, that's a big part of it. So I can tell you this, though. Nebraska brought their kids back today and tomorrow, and they have hour and 45-minute helmet and spider pad practices, just like Ohio State did, back-to-back days. And if you weren't optimistic, at least, that you could be in camp here any day, you know, I don't know if you'd be having your team going back-to-back days like that, at least right now, not knowing when you're going to play. So I think there's a lot more optimism for sure, the way Nebraska got their kids together today and tomorrow to get practicing, and Ohio State said the same thing. But the big thing is the vote, and the pressure now is on the presidents. That's the difference. When this vote happened the last time, like I said earlier, I don't think anybody in their right mind thought these presidents were going to do what they did. I thought we'd just delay it because they spent, you know, Bill Moose said they had 120 Zoom calls that were 2 hours long with athletic directors. And he goes, we had several months of 120 total Zoom calls, and it was all thrown out the window, you know, in a day. And, yeah, you know, that just wasn't right when you go back and think about it now. I mean, there should have been more thought, you know, put in. The SEC had the right idea. September 26th, with a modified practice schedule, you know, ramping into it to monitor the campus arrival of students, they had it right. And if the Big Ten would have just adjusted to that, you know, we'd probably be in camps right now.
Yeah. Great stuff, Sean. I know you can count on our vote, and we can count on yours. So beyond that, then we got some work to do, I think, is kind of where we're at with this thing. But appreciate your time and your expertise, pal.
I know if Nebraska comes to Columbus this year, which we don't know if they I can imagine at least the Huskers might get a pregame standing ovation from Buckeye faithful, because there's been a lot of emotion, I think, with these two fan bases kind of fighting for this.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Yeah. To get football back.
Yep, the two most like ones in the conference. You just wonder if how many others are like us, and my fear through this is that not many are. But thank you so much for your time, bud.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's great stuff right there. Sean Callahan, publisher of Husker Online, give you a little window into terms of where we're at this point. We hit three things up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
All sports, all the time, and whatever it is Common Man and T-Bone do, we still don't know. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Well-dressed, well-spoken, but never, ever a well-drink.
How about chaos?
Insanity. Absolute insanity.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Indeed you are. Before we get to three things, though, a pop-up movie review with Chopper. Hit it, Chopper.
All right, guys. This week I watched The Binge, which came out last weekend on Hulu. You can stream it now. This is a teen party, end of high school comedy, but the premise is also a bit of a satire. I wouldn't go as far as call it a parody, but the plot is like the Purge movies. However, instead of all crimes being legal for 12 hours, drugs and alcohol consumption is legal for half a day in an America under some new form of prohibition. So there's prohibition, but the age to participate in the titular binge is 18 instead of 21. That detail, I think, was obviously put in there to just make it a high school movie when it doesn't really make much sense. That they would lower the age to 18, but then get rid of all of it, except for one day, but whatever. As with a lot of these types of movies, they like to play up the excessive substance abuse, but they do a terrible job of showing inebriation. The movie does the common trope where someone is intoxicated for a scene to make the jokes land, but by the next scene, they are seemingly sober. I guess since it's for teens, they might not have as much experience with stuff like that, but you don't just go from falling down drunk to walking and talking normal in 5 minutes, but the lame story must go on. It's not a gross-out comedy a la American Pie, so it's not trying to mimic like the 90s teen comedies. What it does remind me of is Project X, which came out while I was in high school, but it's not a found footage movie like that one. I can see why high school-age kids would like this because, you know, it's just what you're thinking about at that age, but it's not very funny, and its premise is just absurd. They are so focused on the binge, which seems like a very adult thing, but the main character, he's also preoccupied with getting a prom date, and at the end of the movie, they go to prom, so that's very high school. There are funnier teen comedies and better substance use movies. Although Vince Vaughn is there in a supporting role, this one is not worth the watch. I give The Binge a D.
So did you go to this because of Vince Vaughn in it? Because otherwise, I'm trying to see what attracted you.
Project
seems
X
like it's for
great.
Kids.
It was I mostly because I saw Vince Vaughn and because it was new and I hadn't had the opportunity to get like a brand new one on the review in
all
a
right.
while.
All right. Very good. Very good. Good job out of you, Chopper. Hit three things for me.
One, two, three things with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Oh, I got big problems. The football schedules are out. I'm coaching both Black Cobra and Beamsy. There's three games this year where they conflict directly and are a long ways apart. So including this weekend for the openers. So I don't know what the hell to do here. It's a brutal spot.
Tell the kids, hey, whoever behaves better gets daddy the coach.
Gets daddy to coach.
All right.
Black Cobra is far more competitive, but this is Beamsy's first ever football game.
Ooh.
So I kind of feel like I got to go with my
boy
Beams.
The first one?
Yeah, his first football game.
Gosh, that's amazing. I told you about this last night. I got a tweet from somebody on the IG as he was driving through, or it was on Instagram, but he sent me a picture driving through Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And on the highway sign, you know, we have our highway signs, buckle up, Ohio, you know, stuff like that. Stay home, wash your hands. This one said, be like the Big Ten and stay home and avoid mass gatherings.
I mean, it's funny.
Savages. I love it. I chuckled. I laughed.
Wasn't that funny, though, how people went, remember when everyone was like, oh, yeah, the SEC would love to have us. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, they'd love to. They'd love to save us.
They'd love to see us crash and burn.
Of course they would.
The South would love to see the North still crash and burn.
Crash and burn, yes. There's still vitriol, apparently. It's been a long time, that war, but there's still quite a bit of vitriol.
They haven't got over it.
No, they have not. Number two for me, I got to tell you, like, the uncertainty of school at this time is a tough spot. We're very lucky. I'm lucky that I can do this job from the house right now, and my wife can stay at home. I don't know how people are doing it, because we get messages from the superintendent last night that there's kids in the middle school and the high school have tested positive for COVID, and, you know, so they haven't touched anybody, but you know it's going to go like crazy. My kids are on 2 days of school, off 2 days of school, but that could change next week.
Yeah.
It's just impossible. It's so, so hard. I feel for you. It's hard for us, and we've got some advantages, so I just can't imagine how hard it is on folks where both parents have to work.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. And look, I feel bad for the administrators, because this stuff is changing.
They're doing
daily.
Their best.
Think about
man.
How many parents are trying to, how many parents are trying to get answers, you know, or some kind of clarity. I told you, like, our pickup line situation has changed numerous times, let alone all lunches were supposed to be totally disposable. And now, you know, one teacher says, no, she can bring a lunchbox. Okay. It's just changing daily.
Right.
My second thing, look, I think I have it under control, but in the process of chopping down all those trees and stuff, I think I have hit poison ivy on the forearm, but I have it under control. It's not spreading, which is a good win.
All right.
But I believe I might have poison oak on the waistline. And the problem with the waistline, as you know, is that any pair of boxers or shorts you wear, it's constantly scratching and itching. So the amount of, you know, pink calamine lotion I have on right now, is truly amazing. Can't wait to go for a run and sweat. Just let it spread all over my legs. It's going to be great.
Oh,
it's gonna be
God, wonderful. That's awful. That's awful. Finally, number three for me. So this morning I had a little extra time. So I grilled some onions, with some fresh mushrooms and then eggs. And I went to one of the old favorites, which is, some corn tortillas and salsa. That doesn't ever not win. That wins today, that wins tomorrow, that wins a week from now, 6 months from now. That's a win every single time. I don't know why I don't do it more. I guess I just don't have enough time to do it all the time. But it is it was such a real treat. Just a real treat to have that this morning.
Speaking of breakfast, I'll end on that too. I had to use up some old – I love using up, like – Shelly always will just tell me, look, we got to get rid of this, right? So we had some old gluten-free hamburger buns because we had hamburgers over the weekend. So I heated one up in the toaster, used up some of the cheese. We don't have dairy in the house, but my father-in-law likes dairy. So when he's in town, we obviously get some for him. So I used up the last piece of cheese, and I put on some turkey bacon. I put on two eggs folded in there, a little salt and pepper. I have this garlic-flavored avocado mayo.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Now you're talking.
That was unbelievable. I wiped on there and I put it on a sandwich, and that was my breakfast this morning.
See, there
and
you
I
go.
Tell you what, I don't do it often, but when you have an egg sandwich, that's a damn win, my friend.
It's
that's
so
a damn
great.
Win. Yep.
It's so great.
For
it's
the once
fantastic.
In a while, that's why I'm going on a run. You know, look,
the
dairy, look, it's going to come out later in the form of an awful smelling odor, but it was delicious for the 32 seconds that sandwich lasted.
It didn't last long. We're back tomorrow for more fun. Rothman and Ice up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Sports Center. Good afternoon. I'm Matt Andrews. NHL last night, Colorado went over Dallas to force Game 7, winning 4-1. Tonight at 7, the Flyers and Islanders in Game 6. Islanders up 3-2. And then at 9:45, Vancouver and Vegas in Game 6. Vegas leads 3-2. In the NBA, winner take all, Game 7 last night, Houston over Oklahoma City, 104-102. Miami up two games and on in the Eastern Conference semis after a 116-114 win over Milwaukee. Tonight, it'll be the Raptors and Celtics in Game 3 at 6:30. Boston up two games and on at 9. The Nuggets and Clippers in the Western Conference semis. The Big Ten has been ordered to provide more information, documents, and voting proof to Lancaster, Nebraska County District Court's Judge Susan Strong after the 8 Nebraska players' lawsuit last week. This update brought to you by The Basement Doctor, Central Ohio's most trusted name for your home since 1987. Visit BasementDoctor.com.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FIRST.